Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
Gallons.
It's 4:03. Welcome in. The Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM as well as 106.3 and 107.5 FM. That would be the South Gym in Iowa City and the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. Of course, you can listen online as well, streaming at kgymradio.com or through your smart speaker. 319-366-1600 is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We anticipate it will be active today, as always. 366-1600, once again, the number. You'll also want to keep that handy, as we've got a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. We're going to give that away sometime here within the first 60 minutes of the show, and it's a solid one for you today. Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette will join us coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Phil Parker and Brian Ferentz met with the media today in Iowa City, the penultimate step in putting the finishing touches on another spring football season in Iowa City. All that remains is to hear from the head hawk himself. Kirk Ferentz will talk after Iowa's 5:30 final scrimmage, which is closed to the public on Friday. Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com also with us tonight at 6:05, 6:03, depending on how close you're paying attention to your watch. Lots of Major League Baseball storylines to discuss with Ed, including Jake Arrieta opening his mouth and throwing teammate Bryce Harper under the bus, which is something that happened to Arrieta himself when he was in Chicago. And I'm not surprised that he has a completely different approach this time around, now that he's the one who's doing the throwing. But we start today, Alex, not something that I necessarily anticipated with all of the Iowa football discussion that we were gearing up for today. But John Rothstein at CBS Sports has sort of stolen the football team's thunder here today, because it sounds like Fran McCaffrey and his coaching staff, what remains of it in Iowa City, are dipping their toes into the transfer waters
that
here.
That they are.
And some very lucrative transfers. Now, nothing is set in stone. These kids have to come to Iowa City and like what they see and like the sales pitch that will be given to them. But Fran McCaffrey exploring transfer options, which is something that he hasn't necessarily done much of in the past, Jared Uthoff excluded, of course.
I think it's an interesting time. Joey Hauser is the player that will be visiting. Let's see, John Rothstein says Wisconsin and Virginia, which, depending on who you ask, might be the two favorites. Iowa and Michigan State. So they're deciding between four schools. Him and his brother appear to be a package deal. And you know what? This is an Iowa roster that is veteran. And to supplement a veteran roster, bringing in another veteran experienced player or two can't hurt anything.
Well, there's also Notre Dame's DJ Harvey, who's planning his official visit to Iowa, according to Matthew Bain, who covers recruiting obsessively for the Des Moines Register. Harvey averaged 10.7 points and 4.2 rebounds in 25 minutes a game last season for the Fighting Irish. So you've got three players here who are making visits to Iowa City sometime in the near future. As you mentioned, the Hauser brothers do look to be a package combination out of Marquette, and that would be a solid boost to this Iowa program. I admittedly don't know a ton about DJ Harvey, the Notre Dame transfer, but this is interesting, as we've seen the rise, the proliferation of transfers in men's college basketball, and we spent a segment discussing what Fred Hoiberg is looking to do in Lincoln, Nebraska on last night's show. If you missed it, you can catch the podcast and get caught up at kgymradio.com. But Fred Hoiberg is looking as if he'll be following almost the exact same game plan at Nebraska that he had at Iowa State, which is to spend time recruiting some talented high school players, but go all in on the transfer route. Because there really is not much to lose when you do that, if you have the right judge of character when it comes to why these kids are transferring and what they possess, as was pointed out in the Omaha World Herald article that was discussed on Monday's show. Transfers are typically older. They have something to prove because this is sort of their last chance, their last stop. And they're ready-made products for the most part. You know, like in the instance with Harvey, you know you're getting a player who averaged over 10 points and 4 rebounds a game in the Big East last year. It's a pretty darn good player if you can land him. Now, of course, there's competition, and it's not as easy as just having them come to campus and falling in love. And you look at the names, and they're transferring from Marquette. Wisconsin is on the list. I think Jeff Petrakis, who covers the Badgers for the Milwaukee newspaper, had pointed out when the Hauser brothers were initially entering the transfer process that it sort of looked like Wisconsin would be a done deal. And I don't know enough to say that they're the leader in the clubhouse. My assumption would be maybe they stay close to Marquette in the state of Wisconsin, but this is on Fran McCaffrey now, and the players that are on the Iowa roster, the sales pitch, pretty fascinating, in my opinion, to see Iowa going this route because you really haven't seen Fran do a ton of it.
No, in fact, you've seen him openly speaking out about transfers and graduate transfers in college basketball on several occasions, and it's, I think, gotten to the point where he realizes that you're going to have transfers of your own. You're going to have guys leave the program. In this case, sometimes you might have a guy that leaves early for the NBA.
Here's a guy. No, it's coming tomorrow. Teaser.
It's tomorrow? Okay.
Tomorrow.
We'll have Mel Kuhn Jr. in the
yep,
studio.
We
I'm
booked
excited.
Him. We've
right.
booked him.
Can we make sure
done
that
deal.
Someone lets him in the front door?
Here's a guy. I hope that probably not. I mean, the odds would say no, but I just hope the guy who complained incessantly about how much he hated the Mel Kuhn Jr. segment last year is still listening to the program.
Well, it was like a cheap hack impersonation
yeah.
for a cheap hack radio.
It's good to know that you, much like me,
personality,
don't dwell on that stuff.
Not at all.
You just forget all about it. You can't quote verbatim all of the negative things anybody has ever said about you. You just don't lose any sleep over it. That's good to hear. 319-366-1600. We've got a poll question for you today at KGYMradio.com. I know the guys on the gym class already touched on it here, but which side of the ball is the bigger question mark for the Hawkeyes going into 2019? Is it the offense or the defense? Again, you'll hear both Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker on the program today. As a matter of fact, we'll hear some of the highlights of what Brian Ferentz had to say coming up in about 15 minutes. The poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot.
There's been a little bit of interesting news in the past 24 hours. Cam Lard, who was supposed to transfer from Iowa State, has decided instead to enter the NBA draft and hire an agent. And just a few minutes ago, out of the NFL, I know we'll get to the NFL and the Kansas City Chiefs trade, but Josh Gordon has signed a restricted free agent tender with the New England Patriots. There's no guarantee that he plays this season, but if he does, if he plays again in the NFL, it will be with the Patriots. They're going all in on this Josh Gordon rehabilitation story.
And that is the only Patriots story that I am interested in talking about or hearing about for the remainder of the week.
Fair enough.
I really do not need to see that video.
No videos.
I don't need the Robert Kraft video to surface. Apparently, as was reported by TMZ earlier today, there is a third person in the video. So that either heightens your anticipation or heightens your lack of wanting to view the ride. I don't know why anybody would want to view this, but I do understand why some people would want it public. There seems to be the belief that if you put this out there in the public and show people, look, he's on the video. You can't deny it. If you see him on the video,
yeah, that's him.
Right now, Kraft and his lawyers can say all they want, and there's going to be, as we know full well in 2019, there's never 100% on one side of any story. You're always going to have people who will believe you. So Robert Kraft can say, oh, no, it wasn't me. And
Somebody
he's still going to have some folks out there that are in his camp. Show us the video. Well, I don't know if whether you'd want a campaign to see that video or not, but yeah. Not
law enforcement, we believe you. Please
yep,
don't release the video.
We'll take your word for it. Please don't compromise. Well, he's sort of in a catch-22 situation here because he doesn't want the video to come out because the lawyers are saying that it would compromise his ability to get a fair trial. But once the trial is over, then there's really no reason not to put the video out there. So okay. Does he want the trial to be quick, or does he want to sort of extend the trial here so to prolong the release of the video?
Okay, I just want to go back to what
tape.
You just said. His defense...
It's a really poor choice of words there, and it was not intentional.
His defense is that the number one piece of evidence against him would keep him from getting a fair trial.
Sort of, yes.
That's a hell of a defense.
Well,
if you're in any legal trouble, just think of that one. If they have something against you, just be like, you know what? Let's try to get this thrown out because it's not going to allow me to have a fair trial.
When two of the bigger stories in the sports world are a recording of an NFL team owner engaged in a sex act and a once popular singer who's been dead since, 1986 or 1987?
Yes.
When those are two of the prevailing stories in the sports talk world, you know that it's the middle to late stages of April. You know, we could talk about baseball, but let's just grasp at other straws in more popular sports. 319-366-1600. Again, we'll get to what Brian Ferentz had to say coming up earlier. I'm interested in what folks think on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line about Fran McCaffrey pursuing the transfer route here to make the Iowa Hawkeyes better. I don't know if there's a drawback here.
Do you think that maybe some of his unwillingness to go this route, I'm not going to say has put them in the position that they're in right now, because they're not in a bad position, but maybe the unwillingness to go this route has kept them from getting seasoned players, has kept them from getting some of the more talented graduate transfers and JUCO players and transfers around the country. So no, there is no drawback to this. And there's an old saying, you either adapt or you die. And clearly coaches around the country, you have to adapt to what's happening. You can complain till you're blue in the face about how quickly the kids are transferring, and you should embrace competition. You can complain about that. It's not going to change anything. So you have to change. You have to adapt to it. And clearly that's what he's doing, or trying to do.
By the way, an update on the story that we spent a little time yesterday discussing with Chris Earle of TV9, but the Iowa House, by a vote of 67-31, did pass the sports gambling and fantasy sports bill. So it now goes to the governor's desk, and there's a 3-day window where if it gets her signature, it becomes law, and then it goes on to the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission, and they come up with the rules and regulations and how they're going to roll this out. And if it just sits there for 3 days and she doesn't put her autograph on it, then we've screwed the pooch here. Now, there's not much reason to be pessimistic about this. But she hasn't really shown her hand, so we don't know whether the governor is a big fan of this or not. But my assumption here, and the assumption of people who are a lot smarter than I am, which is a vastly larger pool of water than you would expect it to be, the assumption of those people and myself is that she will sign this and it will become law. And by July or August, you'll be able to put down money on baseball games and get ready for the college football season, because they're going to need a while to sort of get their feet underneath them, figure out some of the trials and tribulations, and then they want to hit the ground running so that they're ready to go in time to take your money come college football season and the NFL. Let's go to the phone lines, though. 366-1600, Fran McCaffrey and the transfer route has generated some interest. We'll start tonight with Michael in Cedar Rapids. Michael, you're batting leadoff. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm definitely in favor of the transfer route. I'm gonna go ahead and be honest here. I think my friend Cyclone Tim, if he's listening, will be happy and will rub my nose in this. But I was, when Fran came in and Hoiberg came in about the same time, you know, Hoiberg went at Iowa State, he went the route of transfers. And, you know, they got pretty good pretty fast, and they've kind of continued with that with the current regime. And I was a touch jealous of that, to be honest. I definitely don't have a problem with it. You know, Fran has, he's brought in a couple transfers before. I think Trey Dickerson was one. And then the kid never saw the court, which was kind of strange. But with this graduate transfer, you kind of know what you're getting, I would think. You know, you have someone who's played, been in a college program for 3 or 4 years. So I'm hopeful, yeah, we can get some good players and be more competitive, you know?
Michael, we appreciate it. Let's go to Rick in Cedar Rapids. Rick, your thoughts. Go ahead, Rick.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Pretty well. Well, these guys aren't grad transfers, if I'm not mistaken. They're transferring with eligibility, but not as graduates. And so they would have to sit out a year.
Correct.
But let's go back to the gambling thing. If, by chance, the legislature does not get the actual bill in final form to the governor before the legislative session ends, which they anticipate will happen next week, she would have 1 month then in which to deal with that bill. So if it doesn't get to her before the legislative session ends, the three-day thing goes out the window, and it's a 30-day window.
Okay, correct. I was missing something there on that. I thought once it was passed by the House and it's been passed by the Senate, it's to her at this point.
You would think. You would think it would be to her if it is already
passed.
I
was only a political science major. I never said I paid attention to any of the political science classes that I sat in on.
Moral of the story.
But yes, if the legislature is out of session, then there's a month-long window where she can... It's just going to delay things.
Right.
I really know. I see
they
no
really
point
love
in
to
delaying
do that.
Things.
They love delaying things. But there's no way that she doesn't sign it, right? Doesn't seem
again,
like a very
I
good
would,
political move.
Well, here's where I'm coming from on this. She has pretty good ties with the casino industry. I think there was a story out there at one point in time where she was flying somewhere on a jet that was owned by one of the casino people. And all of the casino people everywhere have already stubbed out real estate within their respective casinos. So I'm guessing that perhaps there's some people have some knowledge of which way the governor most likely is leaning on this, even though she hasn't said much publicly. So it's only a matter of time. And again, fascinating to see that vote breakdown in the House, where you've got people on both sides, Democrats and Republicans, voting for and voting against. Nothing straight down the middle with party lines on this, which to me is fascinating. But I'm guessing that most of the folks have heard from their constituents, and their constituents want this. They think it's a good thing. 319-366-1600. And again, thank you to the last caller there for correcting Michael on the graduate transfer. Now, I don't know, the Hauser kids are not. I don't know much about Harvey. I don't know whether his, again, I was just saw this as I was coming into the studio today. I don't know whether Harvey is a graduate transfer or not. Maybe there's some.
See, he is only
something
played,
getting lost in translation.
He's only a sophomore as well.
Okay, so nobody's a grad. Let's be very clear. But
just transfers.
We never said that. So these are transfers. They have to follow the traditional rule, a traditional role of begging the NCAA for, they're not going to be able to play right away. Although
the NCAA has been pretty lenient recently.
You get Kirk Ferentz on the record on this once again and given him an opportunity to bring up Drew Ott's name. But basketball is a little bit of a different animal. Now, I can't say I'm necessarily surprised by the Cam Lard news either, as, again, we thought he was going to really the announcement was he was leaving the Iowa State program. There was an assumption made that he was transferring elsewhere. But I think he may have, if he had interest in playing college ball elsewhere, there probably weren't a whole lot of coaches that were willing, ready, and able to throw the doors to their locker room open for someone who brings with him some of the baggage that Cam Lard would be bringing with him from Ames. Again, not to say that Steve Prohm had a situation of addition by subtraction here, but Cam Lard moving on from the program, I think, was best for both parties.
He gave Cam Lard every single opportunity, and that's where a coach looks and says, okay, he had a chance many times to respond to adversity, to better himself, to fall back in the good graces of the coaching staff, and he was not able to do so.
319-366-1600. Once again, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. It's 424, and we've got to get you a big board update on the other side of this break. And when we return, you'll hear what Brian Ferentz had to say about the Iowa offense as spring drills wind up in Iowa City. The Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on 1600 AM, 106.3, 107.5 FM, and KGYMRadio.com. Back after this.
Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Brommelkamp.
A quick look at the projected rotation for this week's series with the Dodgers shows there's a question mark for Thursday's finale at Wrigley Field. Manager Joe Maddon wouldn't go so far as to confirm that John Lester would start Game 3 opposite LA's Ross Stripling, but he left the door open for the Southpaw's return in an interview with WSCR earlier today. It's probably a safe bet that, unless he suffers a setback in the next 48 hours, Lester will make his first start for the team since leaving his April 8th start against the Pirates with hamstring tightness. Lester threw a simulated game 3 days ago and would slot in behind Jose Quintana and Cole Hamels this week. Someone else is close to returning as well. Shortstop Addison Russell will join the iCubs tomorrow as he prepares to return from a 40-game suspension for domestic violence. Russell rejoining the big league team in the near future.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Great lineups. The 27 Yankees, the 75 Reds, the 82 Brewers. On KGYM, it's U Nash and Dukes on the Gym Class and the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. On Smart FM, Just John steps up to the plate in the mornings. Greg's at bat from 10 until 3. And Rick hits musical home runs on your afternoon drive home. Smart Sports on KGYM and Smart Rock on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the Gym Class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
The Trailblazers get the split in OKC and move within one win of the conference semifinals. Can the Thunder survive a must-win Game 5?
Tonight at 9:30 on the Gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
Todd and Alex back with you at 427, 1600 AM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio and great local programmings like this one and programs like this one and the Gym Class. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes coming your way every day at 3 o'clock for 60 minutes. You can listen in tomorrow for your next chance to take home a family four-pack of tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels in action later on this season. Scott and Mark discussing a number of topics earlier today, including Iowa football. You can visit their podcast at kgymradio.com as well. We have for you an opportunity to come hang out with us on Thursday. We're going to be at Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. It's another KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. We'll do the show for a couple hours and then turn things over to ESPN for the first round of the NFL draft. And imagine there are going to be a lot of Hawkeye fans and maybe even some Cyclone fans who are joining us at Mulligan's on Thursday night. This is going to be unlike any NFL first round draft that I can remember, at least being here on the air, just because Iowa has two players that are expected to go very early in the draft. We will wait and see. And Hakeem Butler could surprise, and I know he's popped into the first round on some mock drafts, and all the mock drafts in the world don't mean Jack right now, and they certainly won't mean Jack on Thursday at 6 o'clock. Kyle has joined us in the studio. It's time for a Big Board update. Big Board updates on the Todd Brolecamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Alexander Lumber and Answers by Alexander. That's where you can go on South Gilbert Street in Iowa City if you're looking to redo the windows in your home. They've got a great showroom and a new window line at Answers by Alexander. Here is Kyle.
Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker met with the media today in Iowa City, and one of the takeaways to be had was an indication that DJ Johnson is the leader at the new cash position. Other things were discussed, but today's headlines came from elsewhere. The biggest Hawkeye news today has been a slew of transfer portal news that we might not normally pay attention to if not for the high-profile nature of the players involved. John Rothstein reported the Hauser brothers, senior Sam and sophomore Joey from Arquette, a.k.a. the most coveted transfer package on the market, will be visiting Virginia, Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Iowa. Furthermore, Matthew Bain confirmed for the Des Moines Register that Notre Dame transfer DJ Harvey is also scheduled to visit with the Hawkeyes. The 6'6" wing held a scholarship from Duke just 2 short years ago. All three of these guys were respected recruits and are proven college contributors, and all three would have to sit a season barring any curveballs. While we're at it, former Rutgers tight end Travis Vokolek is in the transfer portal and also confirmed an upcoming visit with the Iowa football team. He stands 6'6" and 250 pounds with good athleticism. Rutgers beat writer James Cratch believes he's a future pro and told me he's a good receiving threat and a not great but willing blocker. Former Cyclone Cam Lard was going to be transferring, but he actually announced today he's entering the NBA draft and hiring an agent. From a scouting perspective, Lard has that combination of size and athleticism, but essentially no profile whatsoever as an NBA prospect. The Rough Riders are hosting the Chicago Steel for Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals right here in Cedar Rapids tonight. Puck drops at 7:05.
And the Colonels taking on the Timber Rattlers up in the Appleton area. A doubleheader today as they were rained out last night. Game 1 did not go the Colonels' way. They're currently tied at 3 in the bottom of the third inning in Game 2. Best of luck going out to Mark Carlson and the Riders. As Kyle mentioned, Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. Game 4 will be tomorrow here in Cedar Rapids. That's a best-of-5 series. We're going to play some of the highlights of Brian Ferentz earlier today in Iowa City, but one in particular sticks out here because as a number of people who were there in Iowa City noted earlier today, and we'll ask Mark Morehouse about this coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, but Brian Ferentz may have committed, well, it wasn't may, he committed a boo-boo. And we'll let you listen here, and we'll play a fun game at home for you, the listener. Find the NCAA violation. Here's Brian earlier today in Iowa City.
There's a night when Noah and TJ are on ESPN for an hour. You guys already might be feeling the benefits. I know you got a good tight end recruit. Is this going to be a big? Could this be a big commercial for Iowa in the tight end position, and could it really work for you guys?
I think it should. But I've been around here a long time. I don't know that things always work that way.
Yeah.
You know, we have a better history and better track record than anyone in the country of producing offensive linemen. 5 years ago, an offensive lineman left this state to go somewhere else. Now, I'm sure he'll get drafted and have a great career. He had an excellent college career. But you would think that it was a no-brainer. You would come here if you're an offensive lineman. Well, he didn't. He was from right up the road. If you're a running back, why wouldn't you come here? You know, our stated goal is we want to run the football. I can't think of many big running backs that have come here. You know, Gavin Williams is from right down the street. I can't say that. I probably just committed an NCAA violation. Tough to say that on the board. You know, I have to write that on the board about 100 times and say I'm sorry. But I don't even know, like, what age guys are anymore. But you think about an in-state guy, it's very rare for us to get a big recruit at that position. We're pleased with that, certainly. But when you look at historically, I don't think it's always correlated. You know, we always get the biggest offensive line recruits. Why wouldn't you come here? Well, 1,000 reasons, I guess. I don't know what they are, but we should have a pretty good TV commercial Thursday night. Hopefully guys are watching, but ultimately it's still going to come down to recruiting the right guys. And TJ Hawkinson was a guy that had two offers when he committed to us. One was from us, one was from Iowa State. No one else was involved in him. Wasn't heralded as recently as maybe 6 months ago. Now is looking at, you know, fulfilling his dream of playing in the NFL. So I think it's a lot more about the person. You know, Noah Fant had a few more offers, but Noah Fant wasn't a national recruit either. He was more of a regional guy. I guess UCLA was involved at the end. But it wasn't like he had a million schools that he was choosing from. It was pretty regional. And, you know, ultimately he was the right person too. So it's still more about the person, I think, than getting the mega recruit. But if you can find the right guy that has all those qualities, then, yeah, sure, you hope it works out. But, you know, I'm not – I guess I'm jaded or cynical. I just don't believe that that's going to make a lasting impact. I think that right now, if you don't recruit the right kid, the right things aren't going to impress him anyway.
Now, he dropped Gavin Williams' name in there. I think he meant to say Spencer Williams, who was a teammate of Pierce Baker's at Cedar Falls. But that's one of the working hypotheses among some of the
with the way he quickly realized that
Twitter
he,
sleuths out there.
I don't know if I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on that one with the way he quickly apologized.
He's got
for
plausible deniability.
I meant Spencer Williams.
Freudian slip, right?
And then throwing the shade at Ross Pierce Baker.
It's about 1,000 fans of other programs running to their keyboards right now to email the NCAA to try to get Mark Emmert's attention to see if they can get Brian Ferentz in hot water over that. You know, I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum.
Open this one up again, do
this
we?
You could not create a better publicity campaign for the Iowa football program than what's going to air in roughly 50 hours on ESPN. I mean, we're 2 days away from, here you go, a couple tight ends going in the first round, guys on both sides of the football. You want to come to Iowa? Get to the NFL.
But he's skeptical about it.
Well, Brian, if I had my druthers, we would play every single clip on this page. I could listen to Brian Ferentz do virtually anything, probably short of reading a phone book. I find him to be the most interesting member of the coaching staff, hands down.
Absolutely.
I think he's got a lot to say about a lot of issues. I think he could probably do my job better than I can on most days. I certainly could not do his job, but here's some of the highlights here. You'll hear, this is about four clips, but you'll hear him discuss the running backs. You'll hear him discuss the receiving core and maybe throw a bucket of ice cold water on the Happy Feet. What was the name? Sweet Feet.
Sweet Feet.
Sweet Feet. And a pretty good question about the Big Ten West, as well as his thoughts on Nate Stanley's experience coming into the season. So some of the highlights here for you of Brian Ferentz earlier today in Iowa City.
How often last year did you see, I think Coach Foster talked about the running back's eyes not seeing sure. some of the cuts they needed to see. Did you see that enough on film to make that a full
point? You know, I mean, we could watch our tape from this morning, and I could probably critique all 11 guys on every play and tell you how bad it all was. But we managed to make some positive gains this morning. That's Derek's job. Derek's job is to coach the running backs. Derek's job is to maximize the performance of those running backs and squeeze every ounce of potential out of those guys. And I think he does a heck of a job, and I think he probably got a picture of that and the amount of detail and work that goes into that. But from where I sit, you know, I'm pretty pleased with how those guys run. I just think we need to do a better job of, starts with me as a coach, putting them in good situations to be successful. You know, running good plays, calling good plays. And then it comes down to the other 10 guys out there. The quarterback certainly got to make sure we're in the right play. And then the offensive line, the tight ends and the receivers, whoever's involved in that blocking scheme, they need to do a good job of not just covering up the people they're assigned to, but moving them, displacing them, and causing some disruption on the defense so that the ball carriers, look, on any play, we're not going to be able to block them all. So what we're trying to do is put the ball carrier in the least dangerous guy. At that point, when they get on the least dangerous guy, that's when they need to be ball carriers, and they need to make a play at some point. But I just can't watch the tape and say we put the guy on, you know, the correct on-block player enough to say that those guys aren't producing.
I know you don't read everything we write, but Reganey and Tracy really stuck out last week in the press conference. Are they really?
I should give yourselves more credit. I read a lot of things you guys write.
Yeah.
I know that Colt mentioned those guys, and rightfully so. Those guys have jumped off the tape, and they're doing a really nice job. Unfortunately, Brandon was a little bit limited for a while there. We had about 2 weeks where, he's just bumped and bruised, and we weren't able to really go full speed with him. But he's another guy that continues to improve, and I just look at him as a guy that's come a long way. I think, like any freshman, the train kind of gets ahead of it, and he was seen a certain way maybe a year ago, and probably didn't develop into what we were all hoping until a little bit later in the season. Look no further than the bowl game. You want to talk about a guy that you're getting some production out of in the bowl game against, I would say legitimate defensive players. He's a guy that can win one-on-one matchups. And he's a guy that's won one-on-one matchups for us in games. So I'm a little bit more excited about him. I'm probably more cautiously optimistic about the other two guys, which I think was kind of my tone on Brandon a year ago. Until you show me in a game, I'm not real interested. A lot of guys can do a lot of things when the lights aren't on, but it's why you appreciate some of the guys that we've had here so much, that they're playing their best football when the lights come on.
I feel like after 6-7 years now, you kind of have a good idea what Phil Parker defense is going to look like.
Sure.
Going to give up about 19 points a game, 17. What do you think this offense has to do to win a Big Ten West?
The goal is simple here. We've talked about before, it's to win. The offensive identity here, the role of the offense is very simple. We need to do whatever it takes for our football team to win. Okay, and I think you got to understand a couple things about us. Number one, we need to stop the run. Right, that's obviously not our department. Number two, we need to run the football. That is our department. And then number three, we got to play great special teams. We got to cover kicks. Again, not our department. But the interesting thing about offense is what you do offensively directly affects the other two phases, more so than the other two phases can affect what we do. So one thing we try to be very cognizant of offensively is we need to protect our defense and keep them out of bad positions. That means we need to protect the football, we need to change field position, and we need to score as many points as we can with the opportunities that we have. And then we tie into special teams in the same way when it comes to the field position battle. Then you add in time of possession, controlling the football. And I think the bowl game's a good example, right? It was very important for us in the bowl game to keep our defense fresh and to keep them off the field as much as possible. So even though there were some things that were probably not the most effective things in the game, it was irrelevant because we needed to make sure that we kept the clock moving and we possessed the ball as much as possible. Gave us our best chance to win. There's going to be other games where we need to go out there and we need to score, and that's going to give us our best chance to win. The challenge offensively here or anywhere else, you have to be able to meet those needs as they arise during the season. And to some extent, you can predict them. To another extent, you can't predict them. They're going to come up pretty organically from game to game. And that's the beauty of football, is all three phases are working together. There is no equal distribution of the work. Some weeks it's going to be the defense pulling it. Some weeks it's going to be the offense. And some weeks it may be a special teams effort. But we need to be multiple enough. We need to be flexible enough to rise to the occasion, regardless of what we're tasked to do. What's the identity going to be for sure? I don't know. I'll be able to tell you better week by week based on who we're playing, what kind of game we think it's going to be. But, our role is pretty simple. We need to put the team first. We need to make sure we win football games here. And we have to do whatever is necessary of us that week to do it. And if we can't do it, then it's not going to go well.
How comforting is it for you to have a quarterback who has shown ability to get you out of bad plays and into the right play with that experience going forward?
That's good, but that's what we're trying to train the younger guys and get them to that point. If you're going to play quarterback here, we're going to give you that freedom, and we're going to ask you to be that person on the field. And I think both young guys have made a lot of progress with that. We try to spoon feed at first, but now we're in a point with both of them where, boy, you're starting to put a little bit, a few more logs on the fire, and they both handled pretty well. With Nate, we know what it is. Certainly is a really good feeling to have him out there under center, because again, you go back to, you look at this thing through the years, he's played in some tough environments. He's played in some big games against some really good defenses. And he's had his ups and downs, like any of us. But the one thing he has done for 2 years is improve steadily. And he's continued to do that through this offseason. So it's comforting to have him back. It's more comforting to know that he has a mentality that's about improvement and seeing if he can't play his best football moving forward. That's what I get excited about. Not so much what he's done, but what he's going to do.
I get excited about half-price Easter candy. I'm not going to lie. I
Cadbury eggs?
Picked up a couple bags of jelly beans today.
There you go.
Me and Ronald Reagan, we share an affinity. I don't know whether the Gipper ever went to Target for half-price jelly beans a couple days after Easter, but I'm certainly guilty. That, of course, was Brian Ferentz, the offensive coordinator for the Hawkeyes. Some of the highlights of his media availability earlier today. We'll get to what Phil Parker had to say coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. What were your takeaways from that sound? 319-366-1600. You heard him say there, he reads a lot of what's written about the program. God help us all if he listens to what's said about the program. But he reads what's written, and I can only imagine, probably had a smirk on his face when he read the Nico Reganey, Tyrone Tracy opuses that were penned several days ago after Kelton Copeland basically praised both of those guys. Now here comes the offensive coordinator to come in and play bad cop,
right,
and say,
Rob Howe, Hawkeye Nation called this.
Don't want these guys to get too big of heads here. They got a lot of work to do. Good cop, bad cop.
If they haven't shown it in the game yet, they haven't shown me anything. That's sort of the way that he goes with all of this. No, I enjoy listening to Brian Ferentz, and I enjoy his press conferences. He's the most entertaining. He's the most straightforward. And I thought it's interesting when he's talking about the running backs and Mark Emmert of the Des Moines Register asked him about the lack of explosive plays. He put it on the offensive line. So the offensive line has to be better. It's that simple. So I think that was a lot of the interior of the offensive line that will be better this season, but the running game has to improve. I'll just put this very bluntly. He was very full of crap to bring up Ross Pierce Baker in that setting. We don't need to relitigate why somebody who was in 4 national championship games and won 2 of them and is still going to be a top 3-round draft pick went and decided to go where he was. I get that Iowa produces offensive linemen, but you know why he went to Alabama. But everything else, it'll be interesting to see how this offense moves forward. And I still think that he is going to be able to make some subtle changes to get it rolling. We've seen flashes of it. Now we need to see it consistently.
Alex Kuhn going for flesh with Brian Ferentz, calling him out for, if this were any other situation, if this were a kid, say, who had committed to Iowa and then he decides, you know what, I'm going to Iowa State or Wisconsin, Minnesota,
I'm
Nebraska,
going to Cal.
Any other school, Ross Pierce Baker made history by appearing in 4 title games. I think the kid made the right decision, although he'll never know the joy of hoisting an Outback Bowl championship trophy, and he has to live with that until the end of days. 319-366-16. I'll tell you what, go ahead and play the clip. You brought it up, Brian Ferentz talking about how to get the run game, the explosive plays, not just the run game, explosive plays in general. I think you said this was Mark Emmert asking.
How do you get more big plays out of the running game?
I block better.
Promise.
It's pretty simple, you know. You know, people fixate on numbers. We got a coach visiting who I think is a pretty intelligent guy, and you know, his comment was, that's stupid. I don't know if it's stupid, but what I've found is if you block plays well, they make a lot of yards. If you don't block plays so well, they don't make as many yards, and it's kind of like the outside zone question. I wish that I could get up here and give you a scientific answer. Coaches are pretty insecure by nature. We have to justify the job we have. They pay us a lot of money to come in here and coach a children's game. It's simple. It's really simple. We need to block better. Certainly, I think we can run the ball a little bit better, but the better we block, the more yards we're going to make.
The text line is actually in your corner here on the Ross
Pierce
Baker
stuff. I couldn't
let that
one go. I just couldn't do it.
Thank you, Alex, for calling out that BS. Pierce Baker hasn't thought twice about not going to Bama. That's Evan in North Liberty, who presumably has a direct line into the thinking of Ross Pierce Baker. It's Alabama. There are a number of other schools that if you want to throw shade, I think you can block out the sun, so to speak. When it's Alabama, when it's Nick Saban, that's not necessarily a choice 99 times out of 100. It takes a special kid to say, you know what? No, I'm going to stay home. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it. Would love to play for national championships. Basically a given to play for national championship every year. But I got to be true to my school. I got to be Mr. Hometown Kid here. Well, Mr. Hometown Kid would be playing for UNI, and that's a whole other can of worms. But in this particular instance, there seems to still be hard feelings, let's put it that way. And rightfully so, because he's a tremendous player and was a great college player. We'll see what his opportunity has in store for him in the National Football League. Presumably will be a middle-round pick.
That's what it's looking like.
Somewhere.
Yes.
But you can do worse than adding Ross Pierce Baker to your NFL roster. The Chiefs made waves earlier today with a big trade. We're going to get to that coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. But when we return, Jake Arrieta has some pointed words for Bryce Harper last night after Harper got thrown out of a game. It's eerily similar to a situation Arrieta faced in Chicago, except this time he's on the other side. Back with more after this.
No matter what kind of day you're having, make it better at Mulligan's. Stop in with your friends for happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6. Take a break with their lunch specials. And when Iowa gifts us with great weather, take advantage of it on their big outdoor patio. Don't miss live music at Mulligan's, too. Keep an eye on their Facebook page to see who's performing next. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. At Mulligan's, you always get a shot at a better day.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Listen up, everybody. I'm happy to say that our office will be doing a winter coat drive.
Oh, I think I have something.
Actually, they just need men's coats in a size medium, preferably light blue.
What charity is this exactly?
The None of Your Business Foundation.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
For all your biggest achievements in life, who's the one person that's always been there, unconditionally supporting every step of the way? It's Mom, your forever biggest fan. This Mother's Day, show her just how much you appreciate the love with 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, when you get ahead of the Mother's Day rush, 1-800-Flowers will give you an exclusive 36 for 36 offer. 36 sorbet roses for just $36. That's only a dollar per rose. With an impressive mix of pastel shades in pink, orange, and lavender, these roses are guaranteed to make her smile. Roses are the perfect way to surprise all the moms in your life or to celebrate any spring occasion. 36 sorbet roses for $36 is an amazing offer, but you have to hurry because it expires Friday. Don't put this off. Order today from 1-800-Flowers.com. It's what Mom would want you to do. To order 36 sorbet roses for $36, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code WILL. Again, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code WILL. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code WILL. Hurry, this fantastic offer ends Friday.
Pros know doing it right means knowing where to find everything you need for the job in one stop, so you're spending more time on the job than away from it. Lowe's does it right by having what you need in stock and in the right quantities for any size job. Like 250-foot and 1,000-foot rolls of Southwire Romex Simple 12-2 and 14-2 wire. Plus, get the electrical boxes, switches, dimmers, and conduit you need to complete the job. Load up today and every day. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's.
The great thing about facts? They're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Find it at Firestone Complete Auto Care.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Hey, what's that look
on your face. Defeat? You want to save more money? Then start playing as a team! Bundle home and auto with Progressive. That's how you win big savings. What? You need music to get pumped? Let's do this! Hold on, I'm going to turn it up. That's too loud. Yeah, that's better.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
When tracking the domestic dust bunny, you commonly find them hiding under wardrobes next to lost socks. Don't move too suddenly or they'll scurry off. What's utterly fascinating about the Dust Bunny is that although they are not actually sentient creatures, when they hear that Geico not only saves people money, but also has a 97% customer satisfaction rating, it's obvious to them you should switch. Because, yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Oh no, it's the Dust Bunny's only natural predator. Run along, Dust Bunnies, run along.
After dropping Game 1 at home, the 76ers respond with three straight wins. Now the Nets face a must-win Game 5 on the road.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on The Gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
Welcome back in. Todd and Alex with you for another 2-plus hours on the way. Right now, if you give us a call at 319-366-1600, we'll reward caller number 6 with a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. They've got three locations across the corridor, one in Marion and two in Cedar Rapids. You can even check them out before you go at LaCantina319.com, and they are hiring at all three of their locations. We'll find out who our winner is shortly. I had a chuckle last night as I was reading reports of Bryce Harper getting ejected at Citi Field against the Mets because his pitcher, Jake Arrieta, was not too happy with Bryce Harper getting thrown out of the game last night, and he had some pointed criticism for Harper after the game. He said, look, I mean, he's got to understand we need him in right field. I don't care how bad the umpire is. He wasn't great for either side. I'm out there trying to make pitches, and he misses some calls. So what? We need him out there. We were flat from start to finish, two-hour delay. It doesn't matter. We have to be ready to play. We weren't, and it showed. So that's Jake Arrieta calling out Bryce Harper, the highest-paid player on his team, newly minted Philadelphia Phillies superstar Bryce Harper. What's wrong with this picture?
It's like I've seen this story before involving Jake Arrieta, but Jake Arrieta was on the other end of this.
Yes, and it didn't end well for the person who got called out.
Now, let me see if I can remember this. It was Miguel Montero, and was he complaining that Jake Arrieta was allowing too many stolen bases and making Miguel Montero look bad?
It was late May of 2017. I think they were playing the Washington Nationals, if I remember, and Harper's team at the time. Go figure. And Arrieta, they stole 7 bases in 4 innings against Arrieta. And after the game was over, Miguel Montero said, it really sucks having those stolen bases go against me. When you look at it, the pitcher doesn't give me any time. And then he elaborates by saying the pitchers, plural, don't hold anybody on. His numbers against stolen base threats were abysmal.
It was 31. Opponents were 31 for 31 stealing bases against Montero.
He was dead last in the National League, in all of baseball, as a matter of fact. But he called out Arrieta after the game that night, and it didn't sit well with Joe Maddon. It didn't sit well with Anthony Rizzo. Rizzo was on ESPN 1000, that's WMVP in Chicago, the next day saying, when you point fingers, you are a selfish player. And then the Cubs wound up designating Montero for assignment. And you could make the argument they really haven't been the same team since. Not that Miguel Montero was the glue that was holding the 2016 World Championship team together, but it's just one of a number of things along the way. So to recap here, Arrieta did not like getting thrown under the bus by Miguel Montero in 2017. And in 2019, when Bryce Harper gets thrown out of the game, he has no issues. None whatsoever calling Harper out.
This is the second time he's called his teammates out too, right? I think last year he was complaining about everyone being flat and it was about the shifts. He didn't like the fact that teams kept beating him because there were exaggerated shifts, so he called out his own manager. He's not afraid to do it. He's done it before. In Philadelphia, not in Chicago, but he's done it before.
Jake Arrieta is very outspoken. I will give him that. And I'm sure that he understands the hypocrisy here. I'm sure he remembers being on the other side of this and not appreciating it. Here's the thing. Bryce Harper is not Miguel Montero. The Phillies aren't going to dump Bryce Harper tomorrow. And if you had late April as the first time of a fissure in the clubhouse, in the Phillies clubhouse with Bryce Harper, who some people have said isn't exactly the greatest teammate in the world. He's kind of about himself. And hey, if I were a superstar, I guess I would probably feel the same way. There's a reason why Philly's paying him as much money as they are. But this usually doesn't end well when the high-priced talent starts bickering back and forth at each other. So worth watching there as the Phillies continue their series with the Mets tonight at Citi Field. The only final earlier today, Detroit beating Boston 7-4 in Major League Baseball. Dodgers and Cubs open a three-game series at Wrigley Field tonight. Speculation is that John Lester will pitch the finale on Thursday. We'll have the Twins and the Astros game two of that series tonight. Michael Pineda, the right-hander, taking the ball against Wade Miley, a lefty for the Astros, right here on 107.5 FM. Hour number one is in the books. Congratulations, by the way, to Derek in Cedar Rapids, taking home a $30 gift card to La Cantina. And we'll have another one of those to give away for you coming up on Wednesday's show. When we return, some big news in the NFL today involving the Kansas City Chiefs. Back with more after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Yo, Sports Center.
I'm John Brickley, breaking news into Sports Center. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports the Steelers are working on a contract extension with quarterback Ben Roethlisberger before Thursday's NFL draft. The 37-year-old is entering the final year of his contract. The Seahawks making a decision on Frank Clark, trading the defensive end to the Chiefs, according to Schefter. Clark and Kansas City coming to terms on a five-year extension worth over $105 million. ESPN's Todd McShay.
You're giving away the first-round pick. You're giving away second-round pick. You're getting a little bit, you know, you're moving up a little bit in the third round. But there's apples to oranges and there's apples to apples. And when you're looking at a guy like Frank Clark, and if you're comfortable with the character and who he is as a person and he's going to fit in the locker room, there's no question what he is as a football player. And he is a dynamic pass rusher and a run defender. I mean, this guy's an every down player. So I think you know that what you're getting.
McShay, guest on NFL Live. Sixers and Blazers will each look to close out their respective series tonight as part of a doubleheader on ESPN Radio. 7:30 Eastern coverage begins for Brooklyn and Philly, followed by OKC and Portland. Red Sox fall to 0-5, and Chris Sale starts this year as Boston fell to the Tigers.
Coming up Wednesday, your last chance to enter the Wingo Cup contest, plus a series finale in the NBA's own Battle of Fire and Ice. And with the NFL draft here, we relish one last moment with mock draft season. Go look and Wingo Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Welcome to Spain and Fitz.
The SportsCenter update was brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, celebrating 15 years of service.
Hi, this is Steve Anderson with Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services. For a while now, you've heard me proclaim my obsession with our beloved Hawkeyes, but my Hawkeye obsession pales in comparison to our obsession with providing you efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling commercial property or buying your first home. Sure, we love our Hawkeyes, but helping you is our passion. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City and HawkeyeTitle.com. The team you love, the people you trust.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you'll never pay full price for gas again.
Even if my car horn sounds like this?
Sure.
Even if I always blast techno in my car?
Yeah.
Even if I drive for miles with the turn signal on?
Of course, even then. It's time to save 5 cents per gallon or more on every fill, every day with instant gold status. Visit FuelRewards.com to join now and save today. Active gold status required. See FuelRewards.com/gold for details. At participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons.
5:02, welcome in. It is the second of 3 hours, the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM. Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio and local programming Monday through Friday. Also heard on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. Streaming online at kgymradio.com. And if you miss anything, make sure you stop by the website. We'll have the podcast for you shortly before 7 o'clock once we wrap up tonight. Poll question available for you there as well. Where's the biggest area of need for the Hawkeyes? The biggest question mark, is it on the offensive side of the football or the defensive side of the football? As both coordinators met with the media in Iowa City earlier today, we already heard some of what Brian Ferentz had to say. We'll hear from Phil Parker, the defensive coordinator for Iowa, coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette will join us in roughly 15 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on what he heard today from Iowa's coordinators. And a lot more discussion, including some new rules coming to college football in the 2019 season. But as we went to break at the top of the hour, it would be hard not to touch on the news of the day. A blockbuster deal in the National Football League going down today between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Seattle Seahawks. And it's a little bit of a head-scratcher for both teams, in my opinion. We'll get to that coming up in just a second, but the trade is Frank Clark going from Seattle to Kansas City, and Kansas City agreeing with Clark once he was traded on a five-year deal worth $105.5 million, $63.5 million of which was guaranteed. The Seahawks get back a first-round pick in this year's draft, a 2020 second-round pick, and then there's a swap of mid-round picks, according to Ian Rappaport. Kansas City gets better on the defensive side of the football. They get an upgrade over Dee Ford. They chose not to bring back Justin Houston, but they give up a first-round pick, a second round next year, and then swap mid-round picks. And this comes with an asterisk.
I think that's the biggest part of this.
Because it's the guy they were a little upset at because he was offsides. Frank Clark comes with some baggage.
That's the part that caught my eye.
And he brings it to an organization that has had numerous issues in the last year.
Last 2 weeks?
Well, it's in very recent in people's minds. Let's put it that way. An organization that has had multiple instances of players and domestic violence. And now here comes Frank Clark to town, and you've created another PR situation where you've got to discuss this or address it with your fan base. And yet most fans, as we've talked before on the program, can you help our team win? Can you help our team win? We will forgive you a number of transgressions.
The Chiefs know this. So
most people, but not everybody. And then you can call it a minority, you can call it a majority. I think it's probably 50-50, I don't know. But the people that say, hey, this isn't a good thing, they get shouted down by the people who label them social justice warriors and things of that nature. And it's really unbecoming and nobody wins. But if the Chiefs win because of this trade, because Frank Clark makes them better on the defensive side of the football, which he does, then Chiefs fans are going to have a very short-term memory when it comes to Frank Clark, just as they've had a short-term memory with Tyreek Hill, who is still a member of the organization. And I don't think they'll be getting over anytime soon the guy who's now with the Cleveland Browns.
No, I at this point, you think that the Chiefs are sort of wondering, wow, well, maybe we should have waited this thing out with Kareem Hunt and not made a knee-jerk reaction, because as bad as that sounds, it sounds horrible. Here are the two questions that I think NFL teams are asking when potentially signing guys like Tyreek Hill or Frank Clark or Kareem Hunt are dealing with these situations. If we keep this person around, will it help us win games? Well, the answer to all three of those guys is yes. If we keep this, the second question is, if we keep this guy around, will we lose support? Well, no, the overwhelming answer to that question is no. So the Cowboys, the Raiders, teams around the league, the Panthers with Greg Hardy, just more teams than not are now realizing that they have nothing to lose bringing in these types of guys. And if you don't know, Frank Clark was kicked off of his Michigan team his senior year by Brady Hoke after allegedly choking, body slamming, and punching his girlfriend in a hotel. And he was found not guilty, but a bunch of witnesses came forward later and said they witnessed what he did to his girlfriend. And there were a lot of people in the hotel that heard what happened and said that he got off easy. And that I don't think that anybody is really surprised by that, because you see it happen all the time. But the Chiefs right now got a whole heck of a lot better on the field, and that's what NFL teams care about. And it's just a sad time.
I know we've got some Chiefs fans here in Eastern Iowa. I'd be curious to hear your reaction to today's deal. Does this sit well with you, or do you have some reservations about bringing Frank Clark aboard? 319-366-1600. And from the perspective of the Seahawks, and I know Russell Wilson got his money, and we've discussed a number of times in the past what that does to teams when they pay their quarterbacks these huge contracts. It doesn't leave a whole lot of food at the table for the rest of the players. But what becomes of the Seattle defense at this point? Because I'm looking here, and this doesn't, unless they use the draft picks to reload on the defensive side of the football, but I'm not sure what the end goal here is for Seattle, other than moving on from a guy that maybe they think is going to be costing them in the public relations department.
I think they're just trying to build draft capital. They don't have any right now.
Ooh, that's a good Mel Kuhn Jr. for tomorrow.
Talk about a team.
Draft capital.
They need draft capital, so they trade their best defensive player, who I thought a lot of the reason why they had been so successful is because they have a guy that has been one of the best, or one of the top five defensive ends in the league, sort of under the radar. He has been outstanding. He is really, really good at football. I think this is sort of a win-win for both teams, in the sense that now the Seattle Seahawks have an extra first-round pick, an extra second-round pick for next year, and then they swap third-round picks in a couple of seasons. And for the Chiefs, from a standpoint of what did they give up for the type of player, just throwing all the baggage aside, you use Frank Clark as your first-round pick. This year, you have two second-round picks this year. You give up a second-round pick next year, and you just swap your third-round picks. It wasn't a huge giveaway other than the money that they paid him, $105 million, $60 million guaranteed. But the baggage here is it's very interesting to see how bold that organization went in light of the troubles that they have gone through the past 365 days.
And just in case Brett Veach is listening in Kansas City, Addison Russell could be available. If you want to go for broke, why don't you bring him on board too? Russell, by the way, our pal Tommy Birch at the Des Moines Register reporting, will be joining the AAA Iowa Cubs tomorrow as he begins his rehabilitation, literally and figuratively, on his way back to the big leagues after the 40-game suspension for domestic violence, which he was handed down by Major League Baseball last year. So if you really, really want to meet a member of the 2016 World Series champion Chicago Cubs, and you're not picky about whether or not they have a dodgy history with domestic violence, you can head on over to Des Moines and Principal Park and catch Addison Russell in the near future. But I think we've got some Chiefs fans, and including my neighbor. I bet this is my neighbor, Doug in Cedar Rapids, calling in. Doug, what's up?
Hey there.
How do you feel about this, Doug?
I'm a little conflicted because of his past, of course, but
looking at it from a football side, which is what the NFL does, he's a really great pickup. He's an improvement on what we had there, and he's a young, up-and-coming player. Player-wise, he's a really great-looking pickup, you know, but you kind of wonder about the, you know, the other stuff. And with Tyreek Hill, we still don't entirely know what's going on there either. Nothing's really been announced other than the child's been taken away from Tyreek and his mom. So we don't know if it was the mom, the dad, or somebody else. But either way, it doesn't look great either. So it's just, you know, another interesting Andy Reid reclamation project, it seems like.
All right. We appreciate hearing from you. And we go to David in Coralville, another Chiefs fan. David, your reaction to this trade today?
Yeah, first of all, Todd, selling Addison Russell in Des Moines, that was the best pitch I've ever heard. like, actually, that was perfect.
If you're not picky, he's there.
Yay. Hey, so I'm going to say I'm a casual Chiefs fan. I was a St. Louis Rams fan. Rest in peace. They left me. But I kind of follow the Chiefs now quite a bit because a lot of my friends do. And my biggest thing is I think I called in, I want to say back in the Ray Rice days, so a deep cut if you go through the podcasts. But, I mean, I feel like we had the same conversation, but it's really interesting how we are so quick to give someone the benefit of the doubt unless if there's photographic or video evidence, right? Like, we saw the Kareem Hunt video, the TMZ video, and knee-jerk reaction, get him out of here. This is arguably very similar. I don't know exactly Frank Clark's exact history of what we know, what happened, when it happened, but there's no video. So what are you going to do? The same thing when someone goes, you know, you have a kid that, you know, it happened with Hader last year, you know, he has success. Let's find visual photographic proof of a tweet that he had, put it out there. Now, if there are rumors, hey, he said some stuff in high school, we'd be like, yeah, but he was in high school. But when we see the tweet screenshot, it's like we decide that, oh, yep, that's enough. And I don't know. I feel like we've had this conversation before. It was with Ray Rice. But I'm just curious what you guys think. I mean, is that more of a product of who we are as a society now? If you can't put it on Instagram, it didn't happen. Anyway, you guys are awesome. I'll hang up.
Appreciate the feedback. And this,
it's literally the only difference in the situation as to who's on the Chiefs and who is not. Kareem Hunt, there was video evidence of it.
This also ties back in, and I don't want to bring it up, but I'm going to bring it up, Robert Kraft. There's video.
Yeah, they have video of you. You can, now he can argue as to whether or not they should have gotten video of him. They should have been granted the right to take video in a hotel, but there's video. There's video.
I'm going to tread very lightly here, given the development today, according to TMZ, that there are three people featured in the video, Robert Kraft and two women, that I guess there are probably some people out there that makes them more likely to want to seek out that video now. Robert Kraft, again, if it's on video, we have a much different reaction. Now, I think everybody's on board with hating on Robert Kraft here, except for Patriots fans, because it's Robert Kraft. He's Darth Vader, right? I mean,
yes.
Everybody dislikes the Patriots, except for Patriots fans, and this is the guy that's presided over the empire, and lo and behold, he runs into this situation, and I don't think people have a tremendous amount of sympathy for him here, but Frank Clark makes the Chiefs better. He comes with baggage. Some teams are willing to take that baggage on, some are not. I think from Seattle's standpoint, they were probably more than happy to wipe their hands clean of having him on the team, and he's now no longer their problem. But I think it's a good point that David makes. There's no video on this one, so it makes it a little bit easier for people to say, you know what, I'm uncomfortable with this, but who knows what happened.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Exactly. And I'm not here to say that that's necessarily the wrong approach. It makes me uncomfortable. I mentioned Addison Russell joining the iCubs. I would not have been bothered one bit had the Cubs moved on from Addison Russell. just said, okay, hey, nope, don't want you around. This sends the wrong message. 51% of the population is female. This is a bad look. We don't support this. And by the way, we've got David Bodie and we've got Daniel Descalzo. And as I mentioned earlier today, you heard the Cubs report in the 4 o'clock hour brought to you by Hertine and Stocker Jewelers in Iowa City. This is going to create an interesting roster decision for the Cubs front office when it's time to bring Addison Russell back to the big league team. They're going to have to make room for him somewhere. And he's not necessarily better than some of those guys that I just named off, better options. So what do you do? And at the same time, there aren't a whole lot of teams out there that are willingly ready to embrace him. The trade market, he had no trade market. Nobody wants to bring in that type of public relations nightmare, except the Kansas City Chiefs, which is why if you want to switch careers at this point. And BJ and Marion on the text line says the Chiefs are taking on a little bit of the 90s Cowboys persona. It worked really well for the Dallas Cowboys, that bad boy. I'm thinking of another 90s team in another sport, the Pistons, who weren't necessarily bad off the court, but they had that image on the court of the bad boys. So maybe you just go all NWO here.
Frank Clark is definitely bad, the bad guy on the field too. Have you ever seen him when they zoom in on his face right before a play? He may be the biggest trash talker that I have laid eyes on, and that's saying something in the NFL. He is constantly jacking his jaw.
Scott Hall away from bringing back the Wolf Pack. 319-366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertine and Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. There's also the currency attached here of the first-round draft pick, which, granted, it wasn't a top 10 pick here, but you'll always have that section of any fan base that hates parting with a first-round draft pick. Now, the Bears did this last year very successfully because it brought them back Khalil Mack. And I know we were ribbing Mark Dukes earlier today about that. You do that. You make that trade 99 times out of 100.
Yeah, I don't think the Bears fans are sweating that first-round pick this year.
There's no guarantee those first-round draft picks are going to turn into a player of Frank Clark's caliber.
Well, no, that's the thing. There's almost, like a 75%, 80% chance, maybe even higher, that they won't. If you at that point of the first round, you probably will not get a player of his caliber.
Exactly. If you're trading away a top 10 pick, where yes, you could say, okay, there are some players out here. If you're going to take a guy with questions, you go after a player that's on the draft board. But that late in the first round, you may as well turn that around and capitalize. So it's a first round this year, a second round next year, and then they swapped a mid-round pick. That's really taken flyers sort of at that point. So it's a first and a second for a player that you then signed to a long-term deal with $63.5 million, I think, was guaranteed, that I mentioned earlier. Andy Reid is Cyclone Tim on the text line. Andy Reid is win at all costs at this point. If you can sell it to your fan base, I guess you don't really lose any sleep over what anybody else thinks about it.
Yeah, and
as long as you're comfortable with your fan base being able to embrace players of questionable character, and we sometimes are guilty of acting as if this is a new thing, a new phenomenon. Guys have had questions about their reputation for decades in professional sports. And people, for the most part, as we mentioned, when you win, people are willing to look past it.
It also makes it a little bit easier to sell to your fan base that he's been in the league for 4 years and hasn't had any issues. Right? Isn't that what we always hear about these guys? It was sort of the Joe Mixon defense when he was coming out of Oklahoma. Well, he served his suspension, he redshirted, and came back in good standing and hasn't done anything bad since. So
I am a big believer in the old parable about the leopard not being able to change its spots and the frog that gives the scorpion the ride across the stream. You just don't necessarily. Now, sometimes, rarely, it happens. Guys will have an epiphany and they'll realize they screwed up and they've got millions of dollars at stake and they never make another mistake again in their life. But somebody who does this once, there's a good chance they're going to do it again. So, again, Brett Veach knows what he's doing. He's building a team that's capable of competing for the AFC title and getting to a Super Bowl, and that's what it's all about.
They want to do it now, too.
And they, as a couple people have pointed out in the text line, Andy Reid is in win-now mode. And they've got the quarterback to do it. Patrick Mahomes is going to be there for a while, but they've got some other pieces that may not be there for very long. So you go all in and try to get it done now. And maybe they see some vulnerabilities with other teams in the AFC. The window is there. The window is open. And this is no different than in the NBA or Major League Baseball or the NHL. When the window is open, it's not going to remain open for very long. So you shoot your shot.
If the window stays open shorter in the NFL than in any other sport, too. So I definitely know why they did it. And I definitely understand the reasoning and why they did it. It comes with a huge risk. But they are a Super Bowl contender, if not the favorite, next year. And they have to completely change their defensive scheme, bringing Steve Spagnuolo, going from a 3-4 to a 4-3. They didn't have the personnel to do it. And they're just sort of cleaning house and trying to build this thing right back up in the matter of a few months. And it's what they have to do, but it definitely is risky.
4387 on the Hertin and Stocker text line says, I can't think of one example where a move like this caused an NFL team to lose a significant number of fans. Teams have no reason to change. That's correct. There is one guy out there who would have likely triggered a response from fan bases.
Yes, there was one guy.
He never got signed. He's still out there as a free agent. But all of these other players with questionable pasts and domestic violence, that's not enough to get people to stop buying jerseys and buying tickets and consuming the product.
And I'm glad you bring this up because I went and did some.
I'm not, because now we're going to have we're going to have Captain America on the text line. I never said his name.
You didn't say his name.
Alluded to the fact that there's one player out there that would have elicited that response.
But I did a little bit of digging today and tried to figure out what the coverage was and what everybody was talking about when the Seahawks drafted Frank Clark just a few months after he was kicked off of that Michigan team his senior year for these allegations. And I found a Peter King video of Monday Morning Quarterback, and he said that the story got completely overshadowed. The story of him choke slamming his girlfriend in a hotel room. Can you guess what story overshadowed it, Todd? There was a crazy story in the NFL that completely wiped out anybody's attention towards Frank Clark.
I've got a guess. Unfortunately, it's 5:26 and we're at a hard out right now. So
it was Deflategate.
Yeah, I won't wager that guess. We will have for you Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette when we return after this. Kyle's going to get you a big board update as well. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continuing on all three KGYM frequencies next.
Is the car you're driving 2012 or newer? If so, here's something you need to know. Today's newer engines run hotter, making them more vulnerable to carbon buildup, which could affect engine performance. Protect your engine with new Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic, specially formulated to protect cars built 2012 or newer from carbon buildup. Learn more at modernoil.com. Valvoline, since 1866. Visit AutoZone now. Buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic and an oil filter for $33.99. See store for restrictions and details.
Are you remodeling your home? Do your window sashes show signs of rot, or do you feel drafts through closed windows? Replace those old windows with the all-new Alexander Lumber window line. All the windows in this line come standard with premium features, including a flex screen, lifetime warranties, and much more, in an array of colors and finishes. Learn more about this new, affordable, high-quality, stylish line of windows at Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street in Iowa City, and at Alexander Lumber, just 2 miles down the road at 2802 Independence Drive.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our All Your Favorites with a Few Surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at lindertire.com.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Spring is a time for new beginnings and new ways to get smart rock and roll. Smart FM's got you covered with your favorite tunes spanning decades. Lacing up your running shoes? Tune to Smart FM. Getting ready to grill on the deck? Season your steak with Smart FM. Shining up those golf clubs in the garage? Keep your radio locked on Smart FM. Eastern Iowa's home for smart rock. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
After dropping game one at home, the 76ers respond with three straight wins. Now the Nets face a must-win game five on the road.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on the gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
5:30, welcome back in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you until just shy of 7 o'clock tonight. NBA playoff action on the way for you. Poll question up and available at KGYMradio.com. Which side of the football has the bigger question mark for Iowa heading in to the conclusion of spring, the offense or the defense? It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette set to join us coming up in just about 2-3 minutes. But first, we're going to get you another big board update. It comes courtesy of our friends at Alexander Lumber. You can find them in Iowa City at their temporary location, which is at 2802 Independence Drive. Here's Kyle.
Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker met with the media today in Iowa City, and one of the takeaways was a possible indication that DJ Johnson is the leader at the cash position. Other things were discussed, but today's headlines came from elsewhere. The biggest Hawkeye news today has been a slew of transfer portal news that we might not normally pay attention to if not for the high-profile nature of the players involved. John Rothstein reported the Hauser brothers, senior Sam and sophomore Joey from Marquette, a.k.a. the most coveted transfer package on the market, will be visiting Virginia, Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Iowa. Furthermore, Matthew Bain confirmed for the Des Moines Register that Notre Dame transfer DJ Harvey has also scheduled a visit with the Hawkeyes. The 6'6" wing held a scholarship offer from Duke just 2 short years ago. All three of these guys were respected recruits and are proven college contributors, and all three would have to sit a season barring any curveballs. While we're at it, former Rutgers tight end Travis Vokolek is in the transfer portal and also confirmed an upcoming visit with the Iowa football team. He stands 6'6" and 250 pounds with good athleticism. Rutgers beat writer James Cratch believes he's a future pro and told me he's a good receiving threat and a not great but willing blocker. Former Cyclone Cam Lard was going to be transferring, but he actually announced today that he's entering the NBA draft and hiring an agent. From a scouting perspective, he has that combination of size and athleticism, but essentially no profile whatsoever as an NBA prospect. The Rough Riders are hosting the Chicago Steel for Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals right here in Cedar Rapids tonight. Puck drops at 7:05.
And the Colonels in Wisconsin taking on the Timber Rattlers, the second game of that doubleheader. Continuing, they fell 9-0 in the first game today. He got just one hit against the Brewers affiliate. They're up 7-3 now in the top of the fifth inning. Mark Morehouse of the Gazette set to join us shortly as we continue our journey towards 7 o'clock tonight. We do want to remind everybody to join us Thursday night. We're going to be at Mulligan's for a little NFL draft shenanigans. It's the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com.
I think I can maybe convince Mel Kuhn Jr. to join us and sign some autographs. And
Mel Kuhn Jr. in the house Thursday
meet
night.
Meet some of the fans.
Given his opinions on all the players, your favorite team. See, I can't do it.
I mean,
I'm not Mel Kuhn Jr.
You have the consistency of Mel Kuhn Jr.
It's when a really bad impersonation of a bad impersonation becomes the norm, much like people with Harry Carey impersonations because of Will Ferrell.
So it's like the inception of a bad impersonation.
Yes. Somebody needs a kick back to reality. And we may get that here shortly. Mulligan's, though, will host us 1060 Old Marion Road. Stop on in. We'll do the show from 4 until 6. We'll step aside for the NFL draft first-round coverage right here on all three KGYM frequencies. But we'll still hang out with you for an hour, maybe drink some beers and watch as TJ Hawkinson and Noah Fant's life both change before our very eyes. Joining us on the program now, Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. And Mark, I'm sure you're going to be glued to the draft on Thursday as well. It's kind of a very interesting one this year, especially, well, for you and me as fans of the Packers, because that organization would benefit from the addition of a nice tight end.
Yeah, I don't think Hawkinson gets there. Maybe Fant does, but one of the first drafts in a long time, Todd, that we actually have to pay attention because the Packers are actually picking not in the 30s. I like it the other way. I like the Packers picking in the 30s because it means they did something. But, yeah, the draft, I asked Brian Ferentz about that today. I really think Thursday night is going to be – Iowa is going to be mentioned a lot. I want to say maybe, you know, there's a rarity of two tight ends going in the first round never happened. The fact that they're both from the same school is going to be – you know, it's going to raise the curtain. And if, you know, the producers and writers or whoever else, maybe I was not sexy enough to talk about very much, but I think this confluence is going to be hard for even ESPN to ignore. I think I was going to get a fantastic amount of airtime on Thursday night.
You think we could see four guys drafted in the first couple of rounds? I saw a couple of mock drafts with Anthony Nelson and Amani Hooker both going in the second round.
I've just compartmentalized this way because there's a lot going on right now with spring football. But I just look at it this way. I think Hawkinson and Fant will go in the first round. I think Nelson and Amani Hooker probably the second or third round. I think they'll both be gone in the second. I don't see any of the four who went to the combine lasting into Saturday. So I just kind of broken it down that way. Where they go, who they'll go to, I don't know. But I thought Anthony Nelson did enough to come out, way more than enough to come out. Hooker was the one I was kind of wondering about, but if you look at it this way, just simply look at it this way, Iowa basically invented a position for him, not really invented, but they had an idea for him. He filled it, and he still won the defensive back of the year in the Big Ten, even though he played kind of defensive back. So obviously an awesome player, both those guys, and I think Iowa, you know, get ready for a commercial this weekend, you guys. Tune in Thursday night. I think it'll be Hawkeye Palooza.
Mark Morehouse with us of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Hopefully there will be enough porta potties available at Hawkeye Palooza. That's usually a festival issue. I did watch the Firefest document on Hulu and Netflix. Mark, let's go to the Hawkeyes that are still here in Iowa City. Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker talking earlier today. Brian gave away a lot of sort of the DNA of how he likes the offense to run, didn't he?
Yeah, and it's basically the offense is built to protect, or the defense is there to protect the offense, kind of like a pawn. You want to be on the field, and, you know, this is stuff that we've all articulated throughout the years. It's just weird when they say it. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting, and that's just the way Iowa moves and it goes, and it's hard to sell, I imagine, sometimes because people like offensive football. You know, you got on one end, you got Brian Ferentz saying the offense is built to protect the defense, and you got Phil who's a points hater, Phil Parker, the Iowa's defensive coordinator, obviously a points hater, saying, yeah, people turn the channel if it's 6-4. So, the rules are made for fun. So, yeah, Brian kind of put that out there. I thought that was interesting to kind of say that because, Todd, I look at that, and Kyle, I look at that as kind of a recruiting obstacle.
Now, we've discussed this in the past, that this isn't the first time that that Brian Ferentz has said something that was a little bit edgy. Is he the shade thrower of this staff? Is he the token shade thrower after what he alluded to Ross Pierschbaker? I think he also committed an NCAA violation by bringing up a recruit.
You know, people, that's not really an NCAA violation. You can say you're recruiting a recruit. You can say, yes, we are recruiting, he said, Gavin Williams, the running back from somewhere in central Iowa. I think he's transferred to Dowling this year. I'm not 100% sure on that. But, yeah, you can do that. But, yeah, I think maybe don't. I don't know. Shade thrower, yeah, Brian likes to mix it up. He's been like that his entire life as far as I know. And I've known him, you know, since he was, like, 18. So, he's always been that. You always kind of had to, I don't want to say you had to be careful what you asked him, but, you know, if you ask a dumb question, you know, you usually got it punted in your face. So, you want to at least come with your thinking cap. And I respect that. I mean, I like it when coaches call out lazy or anywhere, not just in the Iowa tableau, but everywhere. I like it when the coaches are engaged and, you know, and they call lazy reporter guy who just sitting there daydreaming out. Yeah, that's Brian. I mean, he has player in him still, and you know, he's younger. And I wonder how much that plays into it, you guys. I you look at LeVar Woods and Brian, they're about the same age. LeVar Woods does not go that far. Yeah, maybe it comes down to last name sometimes.
The other thing I thought was interesting today was Brian kind of played bad cop with the Nico Reganey, Tyrone Tracy comments that Kelton Copeland made. He sort of built them up, and then Brian tried to take them down, or maybe at least throw a little bit of cold water on that talk today.
Yeah, I thought he was actually less so than he was last year. Last year was Brandon Smith, and Brandon Smith caught three passes as a what would have been last year, two freshmen. Caught three passes, and then and then the offensive coordinator is getting asked in the spring about this kid who caught three passes and how he needs to grow. Of course, you can stand up there and make empty promises that you don't know are going to come true or not, or you can give a realistic breakdown of what the kid has done and what he's doing in practice. I prefer the latter, and sometimes maybe that's uncomfortable. Maybe, you know, I think one of the, I don't want to say alarming, but one of the things that kind of, you know, is happening kind of right in front of us is you don't hear a lot of Ymir Smith Marset right now. So who knows what's going on there, but I like it. I like that Brian does that. I like that he keeps it straight and doesn't go phenomenal all the time with these guys because, you know, they have to show it. They're the ones who are going to have to, you know, do their own advertising, I guess.
Is he taking the same approach with the center position in Tyler Linderbaum?
Good question. I think it's something out of like Game of Thrones. Tyler Linderbaum has been anointed. He's like the brand, you know. He's anointed to be a center, and so I think that cuts through a lot of the stuff. Plus, I think the vision is so strong within the program, and maybe with Tyler Linderbaum, we haven't had a chance to speak with him yet. But maybe that vision is so strong that it cuts through some of the other stuff that goes along with another sort of position change. And plus, when you have a center, I think there's a high degree of intelligence that needs to be downloaded, game IQ that needs to be downloaded in there. So I think maybe he's probably passing a lot of those tests that we don't get to see. And maybe he's quietly making people excited about the position. But I do think the fact that the Ferentzes and Kirk has admitted that he's a center geek, and I think everybody knows that. And so I think that kind of cuts through some of the, well, you kind of need defensive tackles too. Nope, this guy's a center. So I think that to me says everything you need to know about how that position change is going, and it's going fine.
What did you think of his comments about what it would take to win the Big Ten West this year?
I've been actually focused on Phil and the Phil part. What did he say there, Todd?
He made some comments about experience, and I don't know. How would you describe it, Alex? He sort of downplayed. Maybe they're slow playing their hand a little bit is how I would describe
it.
Yeah,
that makes sense. I mean, I think the West is one of the more improving, quickly improving divisions in college football. I also think this year you might go, you know, as far as preseason favorites go, probably 60% of the people are picking Wisconsin just out of habit. Iowa had a good year last year. I think they're in the top tier, and Northwestern won the thing last year. So those are my top three. My middle three are Purdue, Nebraska, and blank it on the other one. Purdue, Nebraska. Never mind. But I think one thing: if they don't win a championship this year, there will be a January press conference where they say, you know, Big Ten championships are the goal. I think it's one thing to say that in January after the season has passed. It's one thing to say that in August. And it's one thing to say it in April. So, yeah, I didn't really those didn't really catch my attention like I thought maybe.
Did he shed some light on maybe some of the problems with the running game the past couple of years? He seemed to indicate the offensive line has almost all to do with it.
No, I think that's just Iowa offensive linemen are the beasts of burden. They are. When everything goes to heck, it goes on them. They are highly coached, and they have so many hands in that. And I think that's the one sort of the buck stops here with the Iowa staff. When it comes to questions the offensive line is going to get the blame, and it's going to have to deal with it. And I don't think that was the case. I tend to more agree the running backs coach, Derek Foster. I thought last year the running backs were kind of lost, and there were only two of them really for most of the season. So I'm less, but the year before, maybe more offensive line. But right now, basically, I really think Iowa offensive linemen, it's the beast of burden of the program. They're going to get a lot of blame and a lot of they're going to get a lot of heavy weight thrown on them. And, you know, it kind of comes with the territory.
Well, you said you were all in on Phil Parker and what he had to say today. So what did you find to be perhaps the most interesting comment?
Yeah, it kind of stopped me in my tracks, actually. And I asked him, was it easy? You know, Seth Wallace brought out after, you know, when he talked, the Wisconsin game, the touchdown pass that A.J. Taylor, slot wide receiver against Nick Neiman, outside linebacker, touchdown Wisconsin. Wisconsin goes on to win the game. Wallace told us that was the play that made them put Monty Hooker at the cash position and made them switch to more of a 4-2-5 hybrid defense. And, asking Phil Parker that question today, was that an easy thing to do? Because basically, you know, 20 years of Iowa pretty much doing the same thing on defense, it was a major departure. And, Parker said, no, that was easy. I saw the play. We were done with that. And so I thought that was amazingly interesting, and then the fact that he wants a corner there. He wants a corner in the cash position. So you're looking at DJ Johnson and Julius Brent, Matt Hankins, I think, got a look. Michael Ojemudia, you got a look. So I think that's interesting. I think they want more speed. They're not worried about covering wide receivers, not tackling running backs. And remember, the whole impetus for going to the 4-2-5 was to cover the spread better. And the spread is so prevalent now that it was a smart move, calculated move, and they want to get more speed on the field. They're more worried about getting beat by a slot wide receiver than they are a running back right now. And you guys, isn't that everyone in football, NFL, college? I mean, the spread is everywhere. Running backs, for whatever reason, I still think running backs hugely valuable, but their value has gone down. And I think that kind of is starting to show up a little bit in college football.
We talked about center on the offensive side of the football, probably equally important on the defensive side of the football. Finding a middle linebacker, what did Phil Parker have to say about that competition?
He actually made a joke. He said, I think Chad asked him, you know, when do you want to have that done? He said, well, maybe the Friday before the first game. So I don't know if that was a good or bad way to put it, but I just think it's going to be a hefty competition, kind of like corner. You know, I look at corner and linebacker now, especially with, that that cash position coming on board, which is probably going to go to the defensive backs. So there's a ton of linebackers sitting around with nothing to do. And of course, they're going to compete like heck to get on the field. And I wouldn't rule out Nick Neiman, a middle linebacker. I think he's big enough to do it. I think he can run. I think Iowa sort of likes the idea of a running back or a linebacker who can run. He's got a high football IQ. His dad obviously was a defensive coordinator at Rutgers. I think middle linebacker, throw him in there. Christian Welch is somebody who I don't think has done doing important things yet as a senior. I think linebacker, it's weird. A lot of them end up in special teams, but not all of them are going to end up in the field this year, and that's going to be another defensive back.
What are you expecting to take away from Friday's closed practice? The media is going to get in, and family members are going to get in. General public's not going to get to see anything. I'm assuming that's going to lead to a lot of questions for you on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm not really looking for anything in particular, just because I want to see who's in the star position or the cash position. I want to see maybe – I don't expect them to have – they're not going to be a complete team, so I don't expect like just to be able to pick out a defensive line rotation. I don't expect the running back carries will probably be meaningless, although I do think that in the fall in camp, that's going to be one of the more important competitions on the team, who are the running backs, what is the pecking order. So the spring game, you kind of want to see some outside guys, young guys, do something interesting and fun. Guys you haven't seen before. It'd be a good night to break out Tyrone Tracy and Nico Reganey to see who was right, Kelvin Copeland or Brian Ferentz. My guess is that there's probably a little both ways on that one. But, yeah, I think there's such an incomplete picture in the spring that I just want to kind of get to see who's willing to put themselves out there. That's kind of what I always look for in spring.
Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, appreciate your time as always. Thank you.
You bet, guys. Thank you.
And lots to get to with Phil Parker. We will hear coming up in the 6 o'clock hour after our chat with Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com some of what Mark was discussing there as far as discussion of the cash position, Amani Hooker's transition, and the general trend that college football is going in that necessitates a player of Hooker's skill in that sort of hybrid role.
You're seeing it all around college football. You're seeing it in the NFL, and it's a good addition to the 4-3 defense. We're also talking about them possibly going to a 3-4 at times this year as well. So that's sort of something that's been discussed, but it's gone under the radar. That's a huge change for this football program. You, for so many years, knew what type of defensive look you were going to get if you were an opposing team playing Iowa for so long, and now that seems to be changing.
Again, Ed Creech of MLB Trade Rumors set to join us to kick off the 6 o'clock hour. Audio of Phil Parker earlier today in Iowa City. And another big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber coming in the 6 o'clock hour. But first, when we return, college football rules changes for 2019. At least a couple of these have raised the ire of the internet earlier today. We'll discuss and let you know what's in store this season when we return after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired at your business, but your customers do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Whatever your business needs, design, remodeling, repair, they'll take care of it. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
Call them for a quote. Jackson Remodeling and Repair, 319-214-6943.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that brake job done. At AutoZone, we have everything you need to do it right. Replacing your brake pads? It might be time to replace your rotors, too. Our Duralast brake bundle has the proven tough Duralast pads and rotors you need to do the complete job, starting at only $99.99 and sold only at AutoZone. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Hiring used to be hard, multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, but today hiring can be easy and you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. ZipRecruiter.com/will. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WILL. ZipRecruiter, smartest way to hire.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you'll never pay full price for gas again.
Even if my car horn sounds like this?
Sure. Even if I always blast techno in my car?
Yeah.
Even if I drive for miles with the turn signal on?
Of course, even then. It's time to save 5 cents per gallon or more on every fill, every day with instant gold status. Visit FuelRewards.com to join now and save today. Active gold status required. See FuelRewards.com/gold for details. At participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons.
Protect your vehicle's engine with Castrol Edge Full Synthetic Motor Oil. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, get 5 quarts and a Wix filter for $33.99. Plus get a $15 gift card and 150 O-Rewards points. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Change the future of your team.
So you ready for the draft? Let's get started.
The NFL Draft. Round 1 is Thursday, April 25th on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
And now, the worst commercial ever.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Jack. We're the Plow Guys.
How do we keep your driveways clean?
With commercial auto and business insurance through Progressive.
They helped with a customized insurance plan that keeps our
business on the road.
And that's news worth
shouting out loud simultaneously.
Enthusiastic yelling at the same time.
Yeah.
Terrible. Whereas commercial auto and business insurance through Progressive is anything but. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com to quote today. Insurance provided and serviced by Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. It's affiliated in third-party insurers.
5:54, welcome back in as hour number 2 of the Todd Brommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn comes to a close. Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com is set to join us inside the 6 o'clock hour. We'll also hear some of the highlights of Iowa defensive coordinator Phil Parker earlier today. Speaking of college football, Alex, so you mentioned this earlier today in the office, some minor changes coming to the NCAA rule book in 2019.
I want to start with the one that we get the most discussion on. That would be targeting, right?
Targeting.
Now, in the past, targeting is called on the field, and they go back and review it automatically. And if they come back with inconclusive evidence, the ruling on the field would stand. Now, the rule change is the opposite. So if they call targeting, and they go back and they review it, and it's inconclusive, and they don't know whether or not it's targeting, and if it's not clear cut, they will overturn the call and let the player stay in the game and do away with the penalty.
I think this is going to be embraced by the fans.
I do too.
Too many times, given the benefit of super slow motion and a million camera angles, officials in the replay booth could find the targeting. And I think if it's questionable enough where you watch it in real time, and again, the human element of officiating is lending itself here to judgment calls, and in real time, if it doesn't quite look like it was clean or it looks like it was targeting but you're not quite sure, I like this much better than the current situation up until now, which was going to the booth, and the booth essentially, it seemed like 9 times out of 10 when it went to the booth, it's targeting, the guy's gone.
Right, and when you say the call stands, that means that there wasn't clear and concise evidence to overturn the call, which means it stood. There will be no more of that. It's either confirmed or it's not a targeting penalty. The other rule, and I don't know how many times we're going to see it, but if college football people will remember the Texas A&M and LSU game last year that went six overtimes with a final score of 74-72, if a game reaches the fifth overtime, they will not put the ball on the 25-yard line. Instead, they will just have both teams going back and forth on two-point conversion attempts.
That seems incredibly lame. If I'm, as you said, how often do we even see this where a game gets to five or six overtimes? If a game gets to five or six overtimes, I am all in on getting as high of a score as possible. Push that thing to the 80s. Two-point conversions, that just seems incredibly weak to me.
And finally, blindside blocks with, quote, forcible contact will be pretty much taken out of the game. If you are a player and you see a guy running at you and you have the chance to light him up, don't do it because it will be an automatic 15-yard penalty. So basically set a screen and go from there.
You said finally, which brings fans of the kickoff very, very, they make them very sad because there was also the vote to eliminate the two-man wedge formation on kickoff. So the NCAA last year brought in a number of changes to kickoffs to make the game safer, and now they're going so far as to eliminate the two-man wedge on kickoff. So there you have it. College football in 2019 will look slightly different if your team manages to get to a fifth overtime against its opponent. The targeting stuff, I think, is something fans will most likely embrace and appreciate. It just seems, Iowa State fans, I know, are still sore about the Alamo Bowl.
Yep.
And the targeting calls that took place in San Antonio. And I think maybe you've got a little bit of a different outcome here if the new rules are in place last December. That'll do it for hour number two of the program, but don't go anywhere. The 6 o'clock hour is still to come. When we return, our biweekly chat with Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com. We'll ask Ed a question we discussed yesterday on the program. Is there something going on with Major League Baseball's balls this season? Are the balls juiced? The home run rates are going up. Is that a bad thing or a good thing for baseball? Ed joins us next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm John Brickley at this hour on SportsCenter. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports the Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger are seeking to get a new contract extension in place prior to Thursday's NFL draft. The 37-year-old is entering the final year of his contract. The Chiefs and Seahawks orchestrating a trade with just over 48 hours until the draft. Seattle sending defensive end Frank Clark to the Chiefs in exchange for draft picks, including a first-round pick this year. Schefter reports KC and Clark agree on a five-year extension worth over $105 million. NBA playoffs, a pair of must-win scenarios for the Nets and the Thunder. Both trail their respective series 3-1. Brooklyn and Philly get our coverage started on ESPN Radio at the bottom of the hour, followed by OKC and Portland. But for Hall of Famer Isaiah Thomas, one glaring issue when it comes to Russell Westbrook.
You know, when we look at Westbrook, you know, we love his talent. We love the way he competes. But his maturity level and maturation level as a leader and also as a teammate and as a player has definitely been stifled. He seems stuck on where he was in the past and not necessarily where he needs to be presently and in the future. And I think that's affected his game.
Thomas, a guest on the Stephen A. Smith Show on ESPN Radio. Magic and the Raptors about to tip in Game 5 with Toronto up 3-1 in the series. A pair of Game 7s in the NHL about to drop the puck in Boston. Bruins and the Leafs, Sharks and the Knights coming up in the 10 p.m. hour. Chris Sale, 5 innings, 10 strikeouts, but a no decision in the Red Sox 7-4 loss to the Tigers in Game 1 of a day-night doubleheader at Fenway.
The NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio. Game 5 of the Nets and Sixers, followed by Game 5 of the Thunder and Blazers. Coverage begins today at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Presented by Indeed.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Springtime means yard work and lots of it. So when it's time to replace the battery in your riding lawnmower or tractor, let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. The professional parts people will help you find just the right Superstart lawn and garden battery to make sure your mower starts over and over again. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you'll never pay full price for gas again.
Even if my car horn sounds like this?
Sure.
Even if I always blast techno in my car?
Yeah.
Even if I drive for miles with the turn signal on?
Of course, even then.
It's time to save 5 cents per gallon or more on every fill, every day with instant gold status. Visit FuelRewards.com to join now and save today. Active gold status required. See FuelRewards.com/gold for details. At participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that brake job done. At AutoZone, we have everything you need to do it right. Replacing your brake pads? It might be time to replace your rotors, too. Our Duralast brake bundle has the proven tough Duralast pads and rotors you need to do the complete job, starting at only $99.99 and sold only at AutoZone. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
The Trailblazers get the split in OKC and move within one win of the conference semifinals. Can the Thunder survive a must-win Game 5?
Tonight at 9:30 on The Gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
6:03, welcome back in. It's the third and final hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We'll be in the studio again tomorrow, and then Thursday, as we have mentioned, it is off to Mulligan's to enjoy first-round coverage of the NFL draft. You can join us from 4 until 6 and then hang out from 6 until 7 as the draft gets underway. Details available at KGYMradio.com. Twins and Astros continuing their series at Minute Maid Park tonight on 107.5 FM. Michael Pineda goes to the mound for the Twins, who were victorious in Game 1 of that series last night. And let's keep the baseball vibe going here for the next several minutes. It's a Tuesday during baseball season. Every other Tuesday, we check in with Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com. Ed, we appreciate the time that you take to join us, as always. And I want to start with a subject that Alex and I talked a little bit about yesterday. What's going on with the baseballs this year? Why are we continuing to see home runs spike? Is there something going on? Are the balls juiced?
I think that's just a yearly debate throughout baseball. And I think it's getting a little bit more steam because now at the AAA level, they've switched to the balls they're using at the major league level. So you've actually now seen home runs starting to increase, strikeouts starting to increase at the AAA level. So I don't know if it's the balls any more juice this year than what it has been in the past. I think it's just the composition of the ball that they've been using at the major league level for the past few years. In addition to, again, the launch angle revolution, the emphasis on barreling balls, exit velocity and the like. So I think it's just the analytics of hitting along with the composition of the baseball. I think that gives us rise to the large number of home runs hit over the past half decade.
Ed, let's get to the news of the last 24 hours. What did you make of Jake Arrieta calling out Bryce Harper for getting ejected from the game? A lot of people pointing to that Miguel Montero situation in Chicago. Also, Jake Arrieta called out the shifts last year and his own manager.
Well, this isn't also the first time that Bryce Harper has let his emotions get the best of him. We saw this several times during his career with the Nationals. And I think Arrieta makes a good point. He needs his right fielder out there. When your team is scuffling, especially the way they were last night, you need your right fielder, the new face of the franchise, to be on the field. Carlson's strike zone was large. The strikes that Harper was upset about, borderline, and I really do believe if you want to pace a play in baseball, you need to make sure the strike zone is actually the way it is, enlarge it a little bit instead of making it a postage stamp. That aside, you know, there's a fine line between being passionate and being a hothead. And I think Bryce Harper is yet to figure out where that line is. And Arrieta is the veteran presence on the Phillies. Let's tell him, hey, yeah, they're bad calls, but we need you more your line in the lineup than you sitting in the locker room halfway through the game because you didn't like the strike call. So I don't think this is a case of Arrieta throwing a teammate under the bus. I think this is a veteran telling a still young Bryce Harper, that he needs to control his temper and that he is more valuable to his team in the lineup than trying to spark them by getting tossed out of the game in the fourth inning.
Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com with us discussing all things MLB baseball. Something that we discussed earlier today, Addison Russell is headed to Des Moines to begin the next step on his way back to rejoining the Cubs. He's eligible to return from that 40-game suspension on May 3rd. What are the Cubs going to do here? There's a little bit of a roster crunch that they're facing when it's time to bring Russell back to the big league team.
That's a good question. They're going to have some time, I think, they can buy by putting him on a rehab assignment. That will buy them, depending on how they do it, as long as he agrees to it, maybe another 2 to 3 weeks. I think it's the question is going to be, what kind of Addison Russell are you going to have production-wise? Are you going to have the struggling Addison Russell that we've seen for the last year and a half, or are you going to see the one that had the high promise when he was a prospect with the A's and eventually with the Cubs? I think if he's able to produce, like he is capable of producing offensively, then I think it makes the Cubs a stronger team. It gives them flexibility to move Baez back to second, strengthen that, allows them to spot Zobrist a little bit more. I don't think it's a bad thing when you have too many good players on your team, especially too many good players who can actually produce. So this is if I was going to see any manager in baseball that could probably handle this situation, it's going to be Joe Maddon. Terry Francona will be another one. In Joe we trust. So I was kind of surprised that the Cubs would have tendered Russell to begin with. But since they did, again, they see him more for his baseball ceiling, his baseball potential, than what he's actually delivered both on the field and off the field the last couple of years.
Cubs are in an interesting place right now. Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant are struggling, and Jason Hayward is ripping the cover off the baseball. Is there something to this start for Hayward, or are you going to take a wait-and-see approach?
A little bit of a wait-and-see, but then again, he's been toying with his swing for the last couple of seasons, so I think this may just be all those mechanical tweaks that he's been doing, the work that he's been putting in, finally coming to a fruition. So seeing him at Miller Park against the Brewers earlier this year, I think he's legit. And if he is legit, I think that's a nice, solid presence to have in the middle to the lower third part of that lineup, especially when, as you mentioned, with Bryan and Rizzo struggling.
We were talking yesterday on the program about David Bote, who had the big walk-off hit for the Cubs on Sunday. And I asked Alex, who's your favorite David Bote-type player, the guy who's not necessarily a superstar, but for whatever reason, you just have always really liked him? It can be a player from the past or present, but do you have a guy who comes to mind when I ask that question?
Oh, the first name that popped in my head, and this again showing how old I am, was Tom Brookins for the Tigers. It was just some guy that you know, was underrated, mainly started at third base for the Tigers, but was again somebody that you can put in the lineup and move around. Brewer bias here, I guess, is Hernan Perez. This is a guy who has played every position except for catcher. Not for want. He has begged Craig Council to put him behind the plate during the course of the years. But this is a guy who can play anywhere in the infield, anywhere in the outfield. He can even mop up throw for you. So I think it's one of those guys that, you know, they don't get the publicity, but they are somebody who the manager trusts instinctively to put in any situation at any time in the game. And again, going back to the Cubs, I think Tommy La Stella was that for the Cubs during their World Series push in 2016, something that Joe Maddon had enough confidence in to put in any key situation, even though he was shipped out and then they brought him back towards the end. I think that was another person who they thought was underrated, but yet somebody who they had the trust to put in there in key situations.
Let's stay in the NL Central. The Milwaukee Brewers, is there any concern right now with the starting pitching?
There's concern, but not panic. I think that was the theme coming out of St. Louis last night. David Stearns is traveling with the team on this road trip, and the writers were peppering with that. You know, with Gio Gonzalez now a free agent, Dallas Keuchel still available, is this the time to make the move? Because as of right now, the returns have been underwhelming as far as three young guns. Peralta's on the injured list. Corbin Burns has been sent down to AAA San Antonio, and Brandon Woodruff has been inconsistent at best. Usually with Woodruff, it's been one inning that's one crooked number that he's put up that seems to hurt him. And then last night, they bring up Adrian Houser, gives up five runs and doesn't last the fourth inning. There's still no panic. I think Peralta is showing progress. They're talking about him coming off the injured list for the next homestand. When Burns was shipped out, they were talking about him being in San Antonio for maybe two or three turns through the rotation. Jimmy Nelson had a very good extended outing and extended spring training last night. Depending on how he bounces back from that outing over the next couple of days, there's talk that he's going to be assigned to AAA San Antonio for a rehab beginning this weekend. So he could be back with the big club again in the next 2 to 3 weeks. So I think when they see Peralta coming back from the injured list next week, Burns and Nelson may be on a plan to be back in mid-May. Zach Davies looks like he's bounced back to his 2017 form, and Shaheen has always been a slow start. So they're hoping once the calendar turns to May that he starts getting back into his top of the rotation, mid-ERA 3 that he showed for the last couple of years. So I think there's concern, but I think they see things trending in the right way. And I think they're all in, not just for the playoff, but also in their push to see how far they can go with these three young guns. And as I said, the return so far has been decidedly underwhelming, but I don't think it's cause for them to yet pull the trigger on bringing back Gonzalez or even making a splurge on Keuchel.
Did the clock strike 12 for Jesus Aguilar? What can they do to get him going?
Well, the funny thing about Aguilar is his numbers have been down since the All-Star break. And I know you're gonna people are going to say, well, he participated in the home run hitting contest and whatnot. I think the analytics on that shows that for people who have an excellent first half of the season, there's always going to be that regression in the second half, going back to the norm, and also the league catching up with him. I think the most usually when you see a slugger struggle, like Aguilar has, you'll see their strikeout rate go up because they're chasing pitches outside the zone. That's not the case for Aguilar. His strikeout rates are in line with his career norms. It's just a case of him, when he gets that pitch to hit, he's not doing anything with it. And I think what his struggles this year remind me greatly of what Domingo Santana went through the first half of last year for the Brewers. And now you take a look at what he's doing with the Mariners this year. So I think there's too much talent in Aguilar. He's an excellent clubhouse presence. He's average, if not slightly above average, first baseman, regardless of what Keith Olbermann thinks. So I don't think this is a time to give up on Aguilar. He's had a bad start, but he's not the only one. Ryan Braun is off to a historically bad start. Travis Shaw is off to a bad start. Those are the three stalwarts in that middle of the lineup, Braun, Shaw, and Aguilar, who the Brewers depended on to do some run production behind Kane and Yelich. And all three of those big guns are hitting under 200. So I think they're just going to say this is just a slow start. The analytics for Aguilar doesn't show that this is going to be a long-term thing. It's just, you know, you need that one hit, that one bloop or whatever, is just to get him back on track. But right now, I think it would be too soon to give up on Aguilar.
With the Cardinals, we've spent the better part of 3 years talking about how they lack that big bopper in the middle of the lineup, that primary offensive guy. Even Marcelo Ozuna wasn't that. But has Paul Goldschmidt being put in that lineup taken the pressure off of a lot of people? Because you look at Paul DeJong and Yadier Molina and Marcelo Ozuna and Colt Wong, Dexter Fowler, they're all hitting right now.
Yeah, they are. And I think it's really tough to get a good gauge on that for one thing. They're going to end up playing the Cardinals, the Brewers, 10 times in those first 3 weeks of the season. Goldschmidt has outstanding numbers against the Cardinals. Wong always seems to kill the Brewers. Goldschmidt has outstanding numbers against the Brewers. Wong has always hurt the Brewers, I think, Molina, and on down the line. But you take a look at those averages and those OPS that you see in the box score every night for the Cardinals. Dexter Fowler, granted, four hits last night, that's always going to goose the average. And he has done well in his at-bats against the Brewers this year, so I think that's goosed the average as well. But I think with as bad as Fowler was last year, he was bound to go up. Colton Wong has always had that offensive upside. It was just a matter of time for him to unlock it. DeJong was hurt last year. I think that brought his numbers down. Goldschmidt, I think, is just going to be doing what he always does. And I think the fact that you now have Goldschmidt, now most people thought they acquired Goldschmidt, they put him in the four hole and solidified the lineup. But it's a very interesting approach that Mike Schilt has taken. Carpenter, I think, is a very solid leadoff man, then Goldschmidt, and then you work your way on down with DeJong in the three hole. It's interesting how they have it. You want to get Goldschmidt as many at bats, many plate appearances as you can, stick him in that two hole, and I think it's worked offensively for him. The Cardinals are off to a nice little start. So if their off-field defense doesn't kill them, because the thing that amazes me that Marcelo Ozuna and Dexter Fowler each have a gold glove and Lorenzo Cain doesn't, there's something wrong with the balloting for gold gloves. It's not a very good defensive outfield. And it seems like every time Ozuna goes back to the wall, it's an adventure in of itself. So the infield defense has been solidified by putting Carpenter back at third, Goldschmidt saving a lot of errors at first. So in the bullpen, which has also been a sore spot for the Cardinals that we've talked about year after year, it looks strong now with Jordan Hicks taking over as the closer, Brebbia and Gant outstanding in relief. And now there's talk that Carlos Martinez, when he gets healthy, that shoulder gets down, that he's going to be in the bullpen, adding another outstanding arm for Mike Schilt. Now, granted, Martinez probably won't be up till around Memorial Day as it is. He only just started throwing a bullpen on Saturday. But I think the key question for the Cardinals are going to be their starting rotation. They've also gone young in their rotation. Will they be a little bit more I don't want to say panicky, but will they be a little bit more aggressive on the free agent market, going after Gonzalez, maybe to add a veteran to that rotation, or even going after Keuchel themselves? So it'll be interesting to see if the Cardinals keep trending up like this, do they make a move now that they've decided to put Martinez in the bullpen? Do they make a move for a veteran like Gonzalez or Keuchel to solidify that rotation?
I was going to ask you about Carlos Martinez next. Do you think that's the right move for the Cardinals to make with him?
I do. Forget his salary, forget the contract. I think if you're a lockdown closer, you're going to be making about that anyway. I think the key thing is he's been hurt for the last year and a half, and you need to protect this investment. And I think with Martinez, one, by putting him into the bullpen and announcing it now and making sure that's the game plan going forward, I think it speeds up his rehabilitation, because if you're going to try to stretch him out to go 5, 6, 7 innings to throw those 90, 100 plus pitches, that takes longer on the rehab. It takes longer to get the shoulder strengthened. I think now that he's just going to be a reliever, whether it's as a closer or a multi-inning reliever earlier in the games, he basically has to worry about his outstanding fastball and a breaking pitch. That's it. So he can actually ramp up his fastball. You'll see it probably tick up once he gets to full speed by about a mile or two over what he was as a starter. He doesn't have to worry about the repertoire. Doesn't have to worry about getting up, getting down, getting up, getting down between innings. So I think as far as getting him rehabbed and back into the major leagues as quick as possible with him being as healthy as he can, I think doing it as a reliever is much better. It allows him to build up innings, and therefore next year, when they see Wainwright and Waka go to free agency, he's healthy. He can have a normal offseason of conditioning, and then he can go back to the rotation in 2020.
Could you see Michael Waka going on that similar trajectory, a guy who's been effective at times the last couple of years but just has not been able to stay healthy?
I could. I think, though, I like Waka's repertoire better than I do Martinez, and I think Waka is probably, if he's healthy, I think he's built better to be a starter. You know, again, going back to the Brewers are having the same discussion with Corbin Burns. He was outstanding in the bullpen last year. This year he gives up homers like he's taking a breath. Is Burns better in the bullpen or is he as a starter? But because they like his repertoire, they feel his career is a starter and they want to keep him that way. And I think the same thing can be said of Walker. I like his repertoire, I like his makeup, and I just feel that he has more upside as a starter than he does coming out of the bullpen. I just think his fastball worked better as a starter than it would be coming out of the bullpen.
Ed, when we brought you on, we mentioned that we've got the Twins and the Astros tonight on 107.5 FM. Minnesota's 13-7 in first place in the AL Central. Is there any reason to believe that they can't keep this up all season long?
Oh, no, I think they can. Minnesota has always been a team of young potential talent. It's either been, and it's usually been derailed by injury. So let's go with Byron Buxton for, as a perfect example. He's now hitting over 280, almost 290, leads league in doubles. He's finally realizing potential that he has shown throughout his career, professional career. Why? He's healthy. It really makes a big difference for a professional athlete, regardless of the sport. For a professional athlete to go into an offseason healthy and have a normal offseason conditioning program rather than do injury rehab. And that's what Buxton had. As long as he can stay healthy, I think the numbers you're seeing from him are going to continue. The one thing, that if you're going to be a cynic, a critic of Buxton's performance this year, there's no power, no home runs. But he has been able to produce extra base hits. The question for the Twins is going to be like it is for everything else. One, can they get consistent offense? And two, the pitching. They're relying on young starters. Can they get the consistent production as they have so far? So far, so good. Rocco Baldelli, I think, has done an outstanding job. I think if you were going to name AL Manager of the Year for the first month of the season, it's between Baldelli, Kevin Cash down in Tampa, and Aaron Boone with the Yankees, that he's got the Yankee team above 500 with a baker's dozen on the disabled list, including Aaron Judge, Stanton, Sanchez, Betances, Severino. Amazing job for Aaron Boone. So, yeah, the Twins, I think they can. They're playing in a very weak division in the Central. As long as they stay healthy, I think they can battle Cleveland to the end.
Let's get to Aaron Boone and the Yankees. How are they going to survive this onslaught of injuries?
Good luck with that. I don't know. When you take a look at they have an all-star team on the disabled list. Again, mentioned, they have their entire starting outfield on the injured list. Hicks, Judge, Stanton, Sanchez is going to be coming off shortly. They have two shortstops on there, Gregorius and Tulowitzki. Andujar is on the DL. Excuse me, on the injured list. I still have got to get in the habit of calling an injured list rather than a disabled list. They've just been able to – it's one of those – the old adage in sports, next man up. And so far, the Yankees have done that. I think this is going to be a blessing in disguise for them, as long as they can continue to tread water like this, because what you're doing is you're getting plate appearances for Clint Frazier. We talked about young prospects not realizing potential because of injuries. Clint Frazier is an excellent example last year with the Yankees. He was hurt for a good chunk of the year, slowed his development. This year, because of the injuries to the starting outfield for the Yankees, he's now playing every day, and you're seeing his production. That's only going to help him when he has to go back to the bench when he starts getting healthy. I think first base is still a sinkhole for the Yankees. Hopefully when they get everybody back in order, they can start filling in because, again, DJ Mayhew was supposed to be their first baseman. Boy, was that an underrated signing. I think when everybody saw the Brian Cashman sign LeMahieu, they're like, what are you going to do with him? You've got Gregorius and Tulowitzki, you're planning that shortstop. You've got Valerie Morris. What are you going to do with LeMahieu? And now he's been a savior for him with all the injuries they've had. So give credit to the manager. And it's going to be interesting what the Yankees do when they get everybody back healthy. I think that's going to be an awesome lineup for them.
Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com. We will touch base with you in 2 weeks. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, guys.
6:25. And when we return, not only will Kyle bring you a big board update, but we'll bring you some of the choice cuts of Phil Parker's media availability earlier today in Iowa City, the defensive coordinator, speaking for the first and only time this spring. Back with more after this.
When I walk in the bank, there's two or three people that say, "Hey, Pat. Hi, Pat. How you doing? Thanks for coming in today." That's what makes a person feel special. Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust has made the commitment to me and the other union trades in town to be that union bank.
Is it the "how can we help you" feeling Pat Loeffler and the members of Carpenters Local 308 get every time they stop by Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust?
They've been there for me every single time that I've asked them. It's a hometown feel. You have a place that you can come in to sit down and talk with somebody on a personal level. That means a lot to my members. I work with Brittany. I work with John Rodriguez. I've worked with numerous, you know, people at Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust over the years. You're just not another number to them. You're a face and a name. They know you.
Or is it the cookies?
Oh, my goodness. I put them in top, at top of the line. I hit their cookie counter before I leave the bank every time.
Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust. Meet them at peopleyoucanbankon.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Texting while driving is a very dangerous form of distracted driving. Drivers who use handheld devices while driving are four times as likely to get into crashes that can injure themselves or others. Drivers of all ages simply don't realize the dangers that are posed when they take their eyes and minds off the road. Everyone needs to do their part. Help save lives. Don't text and drive. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our All Your Favorites with a Few Surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind. In school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There is a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
Great lineups. The 27 Yankees, the 75 Reds, the 82 Brewers. On KGYM, it's U Nash and Dukes on the Gym Class and the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. On Smart FM, Just John steps up to the plate in the mornings. Greg's at bat from 10 until 3. And Rick hits musical home runs on your afternoon drive home. Smart Sports on KGYM and Smart Rock on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Hey, everybody, it's Chris Atterbury from Houston. The Twins back at it against the Astros for game two of this three-game series. They'll try to make it two straight with Michael Pineda on the mound opposite Wade Miley on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And before we can get to the Twins, we need to get to this big board update. If you're building a deck this spring or summer, keep Alexander Lumber in mind for all your materials. You can find them at their temporary location in Iowa City at 2802 Independence Drive. Here's Kyle.
Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker met with the media today in Iowa City, and one of the takeaways was a possible indication that DJ Johnson's the leader at the cash position. Other things were discussed, but today's headlines came from elsewhere. The biggest Hawkeye news today has been a slew of transfer portal news that we might not normally pay attention to if not for the high-profile nature of the players involved. John Rothstein reported the Hauser brothers, senior Sam and sophomore Joey from Marquette, a.k.a. the most coveted transfer package on the market, will be visiting Virginia, Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Iowa. Furthermore, Matthew Bain confirmed for the Des Moines Register that Notre Dame transfer DJ Harvey is also scheduled to visit with the Hawkeyes. The 6'6" wing held a scholarship offer from Duke just two short years ago. All three of these guys were respected recruits and are proven college contributors. All three would have to sit a season, barring any curveballs. While we're at it, former Rutgers tight end Travis Vokolek is also in the transfer portal, and he also confirmed an upcoming visit with the Iowa football team. He stands 6'6" and 250 pounds with good athleticism. Rutgers beat writer James Cratch believes he's a future pro and told me he's a good receiving threat and a not great but willing blocker. Former Cyclone Cam Lard was going to be transferring, we knew that, but today he actually announced he's entering the NBA draft and hiring an agent. From a scouting perspective, Lard has that combination of size and athleticism, but essentially no profile whatsoever as an NBA prospect. The Rough Riders are hosting the Chicago Steel for Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals right here in Cedar Rapids tonight. Puck drops at 7:05.
And the Colonels split that doubleheader with the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers earlier today. One hit in the opener tonight, losing 9-0, or today I should say. They saved most of the offense for the nightcap, winning 7-6. Same two teams back at it again tomorrow night at Fox City Stadium. And then the Colonels are off to, actually, interesting, with the Chicago Steel in town, the Colonels are going to head to the Kane County Cougars, whose stadium is right next door to where the Chicago Steel play. Colonels will be back home next Tuesday to host the Bowling Green Hot Rods and one of the top prospects in all of baseball, Wander Franco. Right now, let's keep things here and get to a little bit of Phil Parker. We're going to play some more of what Phil had to say tomorrow on the program, but let's just keep this to his comments on Amani Hooker and the cash position, because I think a lot of Iowa fans are probably interested in that particular development. And Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette discussed this with us earlier in the 5 o'clock hour. If you missed that segment, you can download the podcast at kgymradio.com. But this position's not going anywhere anytime soon. Amani Hooker, however, is going to the NFL draft. We know that. So Phil Parker's comments on who may step up and just exactly how this position came into existence, I think you'll find this stuff interesting.
Do you have any concerns because Amani was 210 pounds, could tackle like a linebacker? The guys that you're using now are, you know, smaller. I mean, as far as run protection goes, I mean,
I think Amani having him out there, yeah, he was in good size, and you know, I don't know if he had a ton of tackles out there, but I do think when they do get out there, I think the guys we have in there might be quicker feet, can use their feet a little bit better than maybe he did, and maybe able to have a chance to make a play. But I don't think that is a concern, because usually most of those guys, wide receivers, we're trying to, you know, they're going to run the guys off, and we're going to try to defend it with the guys in the box. But I think that, you know, it's a good question. I think the way we're looking at it, to us, it's like a little bit more of a skill player as a corner than it is as a safety.
DJ Johnson, would he be?
DJ's been working there a lot. Matt Hankins has worked there. OJ's worked there. So we rotated three guys. We put Julius in there, you know, the last couple of days. So we have multiple guys. Anybody that plays a corner, you have a chance to go down there. You can play inside. It's a lot of the same techniques that we're teaching to the outside. You know, whether it's 2 week up week, it's the same concept.
Seth told us last week that, or a couple weeks ago, that the decision to go to the cash position was right. It came right after the Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, game. Yeah.
Was that hard for you? I mean, there was a lot.
No, it wasn't very hard after I seen what happened. I mean, you know, we've been cheating the system for a while. You know, when you have Kirksey was there for a while, a very good athlete that can play there. I thought Ben was, you know, a pretty good athlete that could run, and we were getting away with some guys, but that was our best guys to put on the field. And at that time and moment after that game, and we kind of looked at it, and, you know, I put them in a bad spot, and we could have done a better job there. And so I figured if we put a guy there that have a little bit more skill and can move a little bit better, could help us out in the passing game when they're trying to attack us there. And I think, to me, it wasn't much of a decision after the game. I thought it was time, and, you know, to move forward on that.
See Michigan going to a spread now, does that validate you even more? It's another team taking away its
form. Yeah, I mean, basically everybody wants to spread you out. And, you know, nowadays, you know, we played Mississippi State, and I think they were in 11 personnel. Like 99% of the time, there's only twice they were in there, had an extra quarterback in there or something like that. But, you know, that's where the football is going now. They're spreading you out, and it's harder to, you know, play in space with the guys can't move.
So do you're really just looking for a third corner, essentially, in that cash role? How are you?
Right now, that's what we do. Any kind of athlete can go in there, and not only can you play corner and play man-to-man and stuff, but you got to be able to see the big picture, and you got to be able to pattern match and see things that are happening to you. You have to recognize the splits of the wide receivers. There's a whole bunch of stuff that goes into it. You know, what is the knack of him to come on a blitz? We brought Amani Hooker a couple times on some blitzes, but he knew how to time it up. He could read the cadence. He can see it. And I think DJ does a good job with that. And matter of fact, I think all our guys are picking up on that, and they do a good job on that. I think the hardest thing is to find a guy. And, you know, that's a knack that's hard to coach, to say, hey, when do you come? When do you time it up? And I think they've done a good job this spring doing that.
Phil Parker on the cash position. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. They just have to find somebody to fill Amani Hooker's role, and that's easier said than done.
It's strange. It feels like, yes, they want to find someone to fill Amani Hooker's role, but also to sort of change that role up. And it gets confusing when you're talking about the star position, the cash position, because Amani Hooker was sort of the jack of all trades, but more of a in the box type guy who could play some linebacker, kind of that hybrid linebacker safety guy. It seems as, and you heard Chad Lystico, the Des Moines Register, asking for clarity from Phil Parker. It seems they want it to be more of a fifth cornerback, a coverage guy out there, which you heard some of the names, DJ Johnson and Matt Hankins, which are more of the the rangy cover quarterback mold than Amani Hooker is. So it'll be interesting to see how this is employed and all of the other defensive changes that we see on that first Saturday of the college football season, because we're not going to be able to see it in a spring game, and maybe we'll get a little bit of it on Kids Day, but we're going to be pretty much in the dark on a lot of this.
There was a lot of discussion earlier today about the linebackers and the defensive backs, and we are so tight for time tonight that I think we would be best served saving this for tomorrow, and this is not in any stretch of the imagination me being lazy and trying to prevent having to do more work tomorrow by just keeping some of the sound clips and playing them back tomorrow. Not laziness at all.
We don't do that, Todd.
No. We're the hardest working 3-hour program on sports talk radio in Eastern Iowa in the studio. And I stand by those words, and nobody can convince me otherwise.
It's a bold statement.
A very bold statement. Let's see if this pays off for us. 319-366-1600 is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Lots to get to today. We appreciate hearing from each and every one of you. There was the Kansas City-Seattle trade. We touched on that in hour number two. The draft is almost upon us. Now inside, close to being inside 48 hours away from the kickoff of the draft, we invite you to join us for a miniature draft watch party at Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road. We're going to be at Mulligan's on Thursday for the first round of the draft. We'll do the show, an abbreviated version of the show, from 4 until 6, and then we'll stick around and watch from 6 until 7 the first, it's a 15-minute time, so it's the first probably 4 to 5 picks of the draft, depending on how fast things move. Chances are T.J. Hockenson and Noah Fant will still be available by the time that we leave Mulligan's, but stranger things have happened. I may just stay there all night. You never know.
You're going to stay there all night?
Half-price
wings?
I said may. We know if he's eligible to work or if he's available to work, Buddy Lee will be with us eating those half-price wings. That is the special on Thursday at Mulligan's from 6 until close. So happy hour runs from 3 until 6, and then 6 until close, half-price wings. No excuse for you to not join us at Mulligan's for this week's KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. We will take a final timeout when we come back. We'll put the finishing touches on a Tuesday edition of the show. Couple game sevens to look forward to tonight in the NHL. Back with more after this.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired at your business, but your customers do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Whatever your business needs, design, remodeling, repair, they'll take care of it. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
Call them for a quote. Jackson Remodeling and Repair, 319-214-6943.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
We need to work as a team at this company, so today we're going to do a team building exercise called Trust Falls. Sally, I want you to close your eyes, fall, and I'll catch you.
Okay.
1, 2, 3. Ooh. Okay, lesson number one, fall forward.
Ow, ow.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that brake job done. At AutoZone, we have everything you need to do it right. Replacing your brake pads? It might be time to replace your rotors, too. Our Duralast brake bundle has the proven tough Duralast pads and rotors you need to do the complete job, starting at only $99.99 and sold only at AutoZone. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Find it at Firestone Complete Auto Care.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops, your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
The next time you need auto parts and accessories, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. For decades, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for their knowledge and commitment to customer service, and you can too. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. Better parts, better prices, every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
After dropping Game 1 at home, the 76ers respond with 3 straight wins. Now the Nets face a must-win Game 5 on the road.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on the gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
6:42, welcome back in the final 10 minutes of the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. 1600 AM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio. Also heard on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. And 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. You can stream the program at kgymradio.com while you're there. You can vote in the poll question today. Which side of the football is the bigger question mark for the Hawkeyes as spring football winds to a conclusion on Friday, the offense or the defense? Poll question is presented by Emil's Hideaway. You can find them on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. I think you and I are in agreement. There's not much more exciting or fun in sports than game sevens in the Stanley Cup playoffs. There are two of them tonight. One game underway right now. The Bruins lead the Maple Leafs 1-0 with about 4 minutes to go at the Garden in Boston. The other game seven, Las Vegas and San Jose, the Sharks hosting the Golden Knights in game seven there. The Sharks a slight betting favorite to win that. I kind of actually like Vegas on the road there for no particular reason, but you did not get your wish. You were wishing for another game seven last night. You did not get your wish.
I was hoping that the Dallas Stars and Nashville Predators would go to a game seven, and honestly that the Predators would win the series, because I think that would be an easier matchup for my St. Louis Blues, but as it is, the Blues are going to have to play another team that they struggled with during the regular season but can beat. And the Dallas Stars, so that'll be a fun matchup. But yes, Boston on top of Toronto right now in a game seven. This is another rematch of a fantastic series last year that Boston won. That Vegas and San Jose series, Vegas had a 3-1 lead. The Sharks have stormed all the way back, and they're at home with a chance to put Vegas out in the first round, a team that got all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals, of course, last year. So this has been a very fun first round, but after tonight, we focus our transition to the second round.
The NBA playoffs also continuing tonight. You know that you will get the Nets and the Sixers on two of our three frequencies. Right now, the Raptors are up 37-26 in the second quarter on the Magic. That is important because Toronto leads that series 3-1, so a victory tonight for Nick Nurse and the Raptors would finish off that series. Sixers looking to do the same. They're up 3-1. Denver and San Antonio all knotted up at 2 games apiece. Game 5 tips off on NBA TV at 8:30 this evening, and the late game, 9:30 tip on TNT, Game 5 of Portland, Oklahoma City. Portland has an opportunity to close out that series with a victory. 319-366-1600. We mentioned two of the three frequencies with NBA playoff action tonight. That's because the third, 107.5 FM, the North Gym, will have the Minnesota Twins taking on the Houston Astros. Houston and Minnesota both with 13 wins each. The Astros have played and lost two additional games to the Twins, so they're 13-9. The Twins 13-7. We'll have that for you on 107.5 FM. First pitch coming up in about 15 minutes from Minute Maid Park with Miguel Michael Pineda making the start for the Twins. You heard Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com earlier this hour saying there's no reason to believe that the Minnesota Twins can't keep this up all season long.
It'll be interesting because I feel like I haven't known which direction or what their mindset has been. We'll call it the last 5 years because it's just been a roller coaster ride. They're either in the wild card hunt or making the playoffs or coming close, or they're in fourth place in their division. With Rocco Baldelli coming in, was there the feeling that there's enough talent to win now? I think there was, and I think that there is. I thought they underachieved greatly last year, and this year they have a chance in that division to make some noise. So I hope they're going to be there all summer long. I think they will, and they're in the similar boat as the Tampa Bay Rays. You look at the Rays right now, you don't think that they're a little bit hungry, realizing what's going on with the Yankees and the Red Sox, that they can put some space between themselves and those two teams. A couple of small market teams that are really buying into the analytics are really creeping up and lapping the Giants early on in the season. I'm not saying it's going to last, but I think they'll be right there for the rest of the summer.
Lots of baseball games underway tonight, including Kansas City and Tampa Bay. The Royals already trailing the Rays 1-0 in the bottom of the second. White Sox and Baltimore underway as well at Camden Yards. The Orioles with an early 1-0 lead. The Cubs getting ready to host the Dodgers tonight. That's a 7:05 first pitch, first of three games at Wrigley Field there. And the Cardinals and Brewers just underway in St. Louis. What do you think of Carlos Martinez heading to the bullpen when he returns?
I like it. I know they need help in the rotation. I thought a lot of people were saying, oh, well, he has to go back to the rotation. I think there's enough depth there. I'll be very excited to see how Daniel Ponce de Leon does tonight in the starting rotation, a guy that got a cup of coffee last year and did pretty well after coming back from a horrific head injury where he got hit by a line drive a couple of years ago.
Victor Caratini, I believe, of the Iowa Cubs, who's now the Cubs' backup catcher.
But he's another depth guy, and I think they have enough depth in the starting rotation where Carlos Martinez will be better served coming out of the bullpen, and you can never have enough bullpen arms that can go multiple innings. So you got to find a way to keep him healthy. That's first and foremost. And if it's coming out of the bullpen, that's the way it has to be.
Iowa baseball is in action tonight, hosting Milwaukee. That game now in the bottom of the second inning as the Hawkeyes trail 3-1. They've made a living playing with fire in these midweek games before coming back to win them late. Milwaukee up 3-1 through two innings at Duane Banks Field. That's the only midweek game on tap for the Iowa baseball program this week, as they will get back into Big Ten play this weekend. Rick Heller and the Hawkeyes taking 2 of 3 from number 30 Nebraska in Iowa City over the weekend. 319-366-1600, the Hurtin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Again, we appreciate your feedback today. Big night here for the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders coming up in about, let's call it 15 minutes as the puck drops at the Stable. Eastern Conference Finals Game 3 between the Chicago Steel and the Riders. Game 4 will be tomorrow. No Colonels at home tonight. They are on the road until next Tuesday. And then it's the East-West crossover series, which begin with Bowling Green coming to town for three games. Wander Franco, one of the top prospects in all of baseball, currently a member of the Bowling Green Hot Rods, off to a little bit of a slow start, but he's extremely young, and he has not played very many games in temperatures as cold as he's experienced in the onset of the season so far.
Speaking of Wander, do we have any updates on another Wander that may be a Cedar Rapids Colonel at some point this season?
That hamstring is still fidgety in Fort Myers, apparently. I'm thinking they're waiting to make sure that the snow is not returning.
They're safe, knock on wood.
We ran the gas out of our snowblower over the weekend. There wasn't much left in there, so the snowblower is completely winterized, fired up the lawnmower, touched up the grass a little bit, so we are officially in spring/summer mode, and I know many of you are as well here in eastern Iowa. I think we have finally put winter to bed, but better safe than sorry, right? The gym class returns tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Scott Unash and Mark Duke. Speaking of the Colonels, we'll have another opportunity for you to take home a family four-pack of tickets to see the Colonels later on this season. And on Friday, the gym class will reveal the Corridor Athlete of the Week, proudly presented by our friends at Sheet Metal Workers, Local 263.
What's on tap for you tonight?
On tap for me tonight, I'm going home and firing up the grill. It is, it's been a while. My wife has had a ton of work conflicts. We've not had an opportunity to grill out and sit down and have a meal together. And it doesn't happen very often where all three of us are able to sit down and eat. And my son has taken to enjoying when we do. He calls it family dinner. It's family dinner when we all sit. That's when he gets to sit.
Does he watch the Jersey Shore by chance?
No.
Oh, okay.
But that
just,
is when
just
he,
making sure.
That's when he gets to sit at the big table with mom and dad when all three of us eat together.
Where does he sit usually?
He's got his own little. He has his own. He's extremely particular as a 2.5-year-old. He is, if you've ever read the book, The Boss Baby. I know it came out before he arrived, but you literally could have written the book about him. So he has his own dining. He has a separate dining area. He has separate everything from mommy and daddy. And he is in that stage right now where he is telling us to go away. He does not want us to be around, which, I don't know, I'm struggling a little bit with. But so I'm firing up the grill when I get home tonight. I'm assuming you're probably going to watch some Game 7 hockey and whatever's on tap with the Cardinals and the Brewers, right?
That's exactly what I'm going to do. Get ready for tomorrow.
Speaking of tomorrow, it is Wednesday. We'll have an opportunity for you to take home a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill inside the 6 o'clock showdown. If you missed anything, the podcast is available at KGYMradio.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers O-Rewards points in-store and online. Earn points on everything from replacement parts to tools and accessories. And for every 150 points collected, you'll get a $5 reward. Earn points any way you shop. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts. Better prices.